Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Jacob, how is you doing?
I'm okay. I wish I had more iced tea, but, you know, I'll be fine.
You had all this time to get iced tea. No.
No, we're out of iced tea now, so.
Well, not to be not the artist tea. Iced tea? You're talking about the drink iced tea?
Right, yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Specifically unsweetened.
Was that the artist Grant Henry, I hear?
Hey there, I'm over here researching more McDonald's-themed bands, because there are several, apparently.
Oh my god, I'm loving it. That's all I can say.
Are you fucking serious? God.
She just got away with that. She did.
She really did.
It's allowed.
So yeah, Brooke's here too. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good. Just found out Mac Sabbath exists thanks to the lovely Grant here, so I'm having a great time already.
Aki is not here yet,
though. Yeah,
we're waiting for her to arrive. What, that you're sad she's not here?
Yeah, at least on record.
I mean, I think so, yeah. Jacob, have you ever said that?
What? That I'm glad Aki's here?
That you're sad she's not here.
I'm sad she's
not. No, I've never once said that.
Yeah, I didn't think
I've said that I'm glad that she's here. I've said that, but yeah.
But never sad about her absence.
Oh, I don't know, because usually it's me the one that's being late.
Yeah, I know.
But,
the rules have reversed. Oh, she just messaged me. Just got home trying to figure out what of this mess I can unplug. What do you mean, what to unplug? Plug your fucking microphone in.
She's here.
I had to figure out which vibrator to unplug.
Was it the chainsaw dildo, Aki, that you unplugged? Her microphone is not in. Okay.
Chainsaw dildo, another McDonald's-themed band.
It should be.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if I could get away with that as the name of the episode. No, probably not. Chainsaw, maybe. Chainsaw. It's the dildo part I'm not sure about. So, yeah. Grant, you just released some new music.
I did. I put out a spooky album. Ooh, did anyone not know it was Halloween? Is it not completely in your face that it's Halloween right now?
It could be a little more in my face.
Yeah, I'm completely okay. It's so funny because, you know, I get all pissy when, you know, the Christmas decorations come out at the department store, you know, November 1st. But I'm all about pumpkins September 1st, right? I'm like, I'm okay. If people start decorating super early for Halloween, for some reason, I'm completely okay with it. So I guess I should shut my trap. When the Christmas trees come out,
I'm all right with it, but it's just like people who make Halloween like their personality. Annoying.
Yeah, Halloween it's almost as bad as when people make JoJo's Bizarre Adventure their personality or McDonald's. Those are both pretty cringe.
Or a podcast.
Wait, so. Who makes JoJo's Bizarre Adventure their personality?
Oh, it's me.
Oh.
Aki's gone.
Yay, she died, I guess. Maybe she's trying to figure out what to she didn't unplug the chainsaw dildo, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're friends on Facebook. Why?
Okay, so you know how my name's Joestar Pool on Facebook? That's because I married a JoJo's character. It's a long... We'll talk about this later. See me after class.
Wait, you married... Oh, huh.
I'm just gonna
need a flowchart.
We're gonna walk right past that one.
We're gonna need diagrams. Jacob's late to the party.
I also don't watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or read it, so.
Oh, man. That's even sadder than the time that Aki showed up and then left. That's a
bummer. Nah, I'm a bit of an anime hipster. Like, I only like shit from, like, the 80s and 90s, and if it was popular, then obviously I don't like it, so.
Okay.
Well, I hope my new album doesn't get too popular, so you'll listen to it.
That was awesome. Nice.
Tell us about it, Grant. What is this new album all about?
It is on iTunes. It's on all the things except for Bandcamp for licensing reasons. But it is a collection of covers that I've done over the last 10-ish years for different Halloween comps and projects that just sort of, you know, things are seasonal. So an album may just kind of come and go. And these are tracks that have never been on streaming or on iTunes or anything. So I got them licensed and put them up in a collection called Spookage Volume 1.
Spookage.
There's Spookage. There's
cool.
Twin Peaks on here. There's some Goblin music. Here's some music from Monster Squad. There's I did a cover of Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo with my wife singing. And so it's just a collection of fun, spooky jams that I've done over the years. My buddy Eric, old Viking guitar, helped me remaster them so that it sounds like a cohesive album, because it was sort of all over the place, I'll tell you.
I guess that happens when you have 10 years of songs and you're throwing them all together.
Totally. I mean, things change. Different people it's 10 years ago. My production 10 years ago is different than now, and different people master these projects, and, you know, variety of reasons. It sounded a little more like a mixtape, so I wanted it to sound more like an album. And so, yeah, so it's on streaming. And so, go check it out if you want some new tracks to add to your playlists. It's got some rad album art, too.
Who did the album art?
Check it out. Dugosh did it. It's actually an AI. It is AI art, in case anyone had asked. But he's been sort of playing around with parameters and wrangling and stuff, and decided. I called him up and I was like, Dugosh, I got $50. I got $50. That's it. I was like, what can you give me something for $50? Like, don't spend too long on it. I'm not going to pay you, because I pay people $50, maybe some text, maybe some bleeding text. I don't know. Get 80s, get stupid with it. And he started on something and then sent me something that looked pretty cool. And he was like, hey, how about this? And he sent this fucking green guitar castle thing. Like, it looks like my guitar, but it's a castle and there's goo, and it had this like luminescent Halloween font. I'm like, what did you do? Like, what happened? He's like, well, and he just started talking with his wife and then decided to try to do a little experimentation with Midjourney. So he came up with this thing, and it looks pretty rad. Some
generated artwork is so fucking bizarre.
It is bizarre. And sometimes it's too AI-y. Like, you can tell when it's just a mess. But this actually, he actually did some work to get this thing wrangled with the moon in the background and stuff, so I like it. But it's not all good, that's for sure. Most of it's kind of gross, but there's some pretty neat stuff coming out of that scene. Anyway, $50, Dugosh. That's all you get. That's all I'm saying.
I should give you $50 for the theme you did for us 9 years ago.
No, we're good.
We're still milking that fucker.
I know. That's why I'm not gonna get. That's why you shouldn't pay me for it. You're just like, it's just like continues to be alive. You know.
I like that you did that theme. We went through a bunch of other themes. We went back to that theme, and then now we're using your mashup of your theme, Ryan's theme, and Eric's theme.
Yes. What was it? I think you were like, because we were all going to be on here for the Viking Guitar Show, and you're like, which theme should I play? And I guess I was bored and was like, play them all as one incohesive mess.
Yeah, and it somehow sounds really good, and I like it.
Sweet.
And, it works really well.
So there have been Christmas versions. There have been some jingle jangles on that theme over the years.
You have spearheaded the SML Christmas music program.
The program.
We got to do that again this year. I got to get a couple more people to do some songs this year.
Yep.
Last few years for have sure. been lackluster, but we'll figure something out. What else are you up to? What's going on in Grantland?
I just finished my last plane ride for the summer. I did six trips this summer. I was on six different round trips. It was a lot. It was scary, and I was just sort of expecting to get COVID-ed at some point, and it didn't happen. I was trying to figure out which trip was going to get canceled, right? One of these is going to get canceled, and it didn't happen. This past weekend, I got back from Pittsburgh, and we played the Pittsburgh Gaming Expo PGX for the second time with Viking Guitar.
Oh shit, you were at that show?
Guys. Yeah.
Yep. Damn. Wish I would have known. I would have tried to convince Ashley to let me drive out to Pittsburgh for a day.
I should have given you fair warning. I mentioned it to a few Pittsburgh people. You're normally aware of this stuff, so I didn't.
I'm on the other side of the state though. It's still like a 4-hour drive for me. So
it's a pretty good one though. I would say for next year, it's got a really big, really sizable merch area, really sizable arcade, and then one block of music on Saturday. That's kind of how they do it. But there's plenty to do, and I know some other guys that are over near Philly that would think about coming next year. So you should put it on your calendar for next year. Come hang out.
Nice. Yeah,
come see me. Come see me,
Joe. I want to. I saw you over the summer at BidGen.
Yes. Yes. The Baltimore.
Yes. You
which came I didn't on get to sick
talk
from.
About that. And now that it's over, how was it? How did you enjoy your time at BidGen?
BidGen was cool. BidGen was insane. It was, I played in two bands. One of those bands had a member drop out due to COVID. That member was also in the other band. So, and then the day before, the show, we had a third member drop out. So like literally skeleton crew at this point, trying to figure out how to make shows work and wrangle gear and then just play two concerts, which is not easy. So I don't know. I came out of Baltimore feeling like I had accomplished something. You know, it was fun to see people, especially you, Joe. But it was mostly. But in the end, it was just really. It was very tiring, and it was proud to have pulled it off. You know, it was something that was cool to have made happen. And Metroid Metal hadn't played together in years, so it was cool to do that. So very satisfied with the BidGen. And it was good to chill.
I was thrilled to see you because we're at that stage in life where I don't know if. The last time I see you is the last time I'm going to see you. Like, yeah, we don't get to go out and do things like we used to when we were younger.
Yeah, it's the truth. We got to take advantage of these little gatherings they keep having. I'll be going to MAG this year.
Are you?
So definitely. So if you're going to be there.
Oh, I've got to be there. It's year 20.
It's year 20.
Year 20. One-ups are playing. I got to be there. So.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you.
Are you going to mosh pit with me during the one-ups?
I mean, is that what we're doing? Sure.
Actually, I talked to Big Adam, and do you watch AEW wrestling at all?
I know. I'm only familiar with what Danimal tweets about it. I know nothing else of AEW.
Danimal might be part of this, but Big Adam has suggested that we all get this one tracksuit that the one goon wears and like a plastic face guard, and we all just cosplay as Brandon Cutler from AEW in his goon tracksuit.
And everyone we're all just does?
Gonna, yeah.
Oh, a bunch of Cutlers running around?
Yeah, we're just going to figure out a day to do that at MAGFest, and Big Adam's spearheading that, and I'm going to save up the $100 to get the tracksuit and look stupid. So, fuck it, why not, right?
what do they call it when, like, flash mobs, like a Cutler flash mob, basically?
Running around that would be amazing.
Dig it.
Oh, man. So, Aki, you're here, huh?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yay!
Yes!
Unfortunately.
Oh, my God, yes.
Do I sound okay? Do I need the fiddle with the volume or anything?
You actually sound normal. Okay. You just sound a little better.
Oh.
I'm very clear.
Well, good. This mic, I paid for this mic forever ago, and it was expensive, so I'm glad it does good.
It's nice.
Cool. So what's going on in your world, Aki?
Well, I am at my parents' house. They're going on vacation, so I'm pet-sitting their dog and two cats.
Mm.
So,
what kind of dog?
It's a little Chihuahua, Pomeranian, some other small amounts of other crap thing.
Demon from hell?
Actually, no, he's super sweet, which...
Oh.
Yeah, very rare for Chihuahua types. They're... notoriously little bastards, and so are Pomeranians. Realistically speaking, so we've had a couple of those in my lifetime. They're usually not very nice dogs. No, he's super chillax. He's a nice little lap dog. He's, you know, he's fun. I rather enjoy him. Maybe I'll take some pictures and post them up in the cute shit area.
Yeah,
you should. You have the cats and cute shit on the Discord, and you also have your own channel to post literally whatever the hell you want. So
yeah, and it's become almost exclusively Gundam and Dragon stuff. So
yeah,
the two things I really like.
Jacob gets a channel. Might as well. Like, who else wants a channel? Like, Brooke, do you want a channel?
Yeah, it can just be Brooke's sexy pictures, and it can just be lots of pictures of her.
It's Brooke's sexy pictures, and like, there's not any pictures up there.
It's just pictures of McDonald's.
Yeah, it's different fast food.
Like, this is what I ate today. Yeah, you could just post pictures of your meals.
Fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Right now, I'm eating Taco Bell, so, like, you know, literally.
I love Taco Bell. That was my first fast food job in high school. I was 16 years old in McClenny, Florida, and I was there. You want to date how old I am? I was there the night they took out the Mug root beer line and they put the Baja Blast in.
Oh, damn.
And everybody's always like, oh, you worked at Taco Bell for 2 years. You must be sick of it, especially right after I stopped working. I'm like, nope.
No, I was actually about to ask that if you were like, so do you not like it anymore? Because
no, I love it. Right. I still love it. We're still tied.
This and Little Caesars are like my two go-tos. Except for when I have money, then it's
really
rallies.
Fucking hard about Little Caesars.
What'd you say?
Go ahead.
I was saying I'm judging you real fucking hard about Little Caesars.
Why?
Okay, come on, man.
Little Caesars is shit. Like, yeah. It is only good if you literally have $5 and however much you need for tax.
Hey, we just said that at McDonald's too.
You have to remember, one, I am poor, so there's that.
It serves its purpose.
I don't have a sense of smell, so to me, all pizza is pizza. Well, yes.
And their ranch sauce is pretty good too.
Almost all of your sense of taste
Aki, be quiet for a second. Joe, ranch sauce? No, that does not belong on pizza.
I agree with the crust.
I'm team ranch on pizza.
No.
Team ranch.
No.
You get more marinara.
No, the only time ranch on your pizza is if you're having like bacon chicken ranch pizza. Like, that's the only time it's acceptable.
Yeah, you say that, but if you go to Dion's Pizza in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you don't dip the pizza in the ranch, everybody's going to be looking at you with these raised eyebrows and pursed lips. They're going to be like, this guy's not from around here, dude.
I'm just sitting here like, tell me you've never had Little Caesars Ranch without telling me you've never had Little Caesars Ranch.
Yeah, see, thank you. He's over here like, I don't know, Little Caesars. I don't know why.
I don't like ranch just in
general. All right, but I shouldn't have to add on extra shit just for making me like their pizza. Like, it should be able to stand on its own.
It's $5 pizza. What the fuck do you expect?
I don't know. I can walk over to the fucking store, get a Red Baron pizza for $5, pop it in my oven, and it tastes shitloads better than Little Caesars.
Debatable.
Like, yeah, but what if you live in your car and you don't have an oven?
All right, I have both, so...
But what if you don't?
Well, then, if you don't have either of those, then...
Little Caesars is $5, and it is good.
I mean, it's I think it's delicious. I really love their sauce.
That's like complaining about CeCe's pizza.
God, I wish we still had one.
CeCe's? Oh my God.
CeCe's is
still around, right?
Oh man, you guys want to hear another story about how I was 16 years old? When I was 16 years old, my sweet 16 was at CeCe's Pizza.
Nice.
And
hell yeah.
Yeah, and my friend showed up. We're both still pretty goth, but she showed up. She's goth as hell. We're in high school. And she brought me a doll that she got at the thrift store that she had gouged the eyes out of and put fake blood on. I don't really know why I told you guys that. I'm just really opening up tonight. I hope you guys enjoy. But yeah, that Little Caesar's Sweet 16 was lit.
Yeah, I used to go there for my birthday too. I used to go to Ryan's back when that was still a thing.
Oh, I forgot about Ryan's, those rolls, dude.
Yeah, I loved the tacos that they had there and the little fucking
chickens
they had. It's been dead for over a decade and a half at this point.
So is the show. House,
right? He's got us there.
I'm so hungry now.
Our Little Caesars here has maple syrup, not ranch. Wow, Rupi.
Oh my God, what?
What?
Okay. Maple syrup on pizza.
I won't judge.
All right, is there any toppings on it? Because, I mean, I could see it potentially being good.
Ding dong.
Yeah, dessert? A dessert pizza, that sounds like that'd be delicious in.
Right.
Anything else? I don't know how, but...
I don't know. It could be good. You want to know what maple is really good? Wet Pancakes Lip Balm.
Oh, my God. Show me where to buy it. Did you get yours?
I did. Oh, yeah. It's in use, bro.
You like it?
Yeah, it's tasty.
Nice.
But not too tasty. Not too sweet. You know what I mean? That's not, I'm not a fan when they when it's just like this sugary mess. It's awful. But no, I got my bombs. I'm set. West Coast, nice. Represent. SML.
I'm trying to get them sent out to, like, anytime I have to mail something to someone, I try to tuck in a lip balm, if I remember.
Nice.
Tuck in a lip balm.
Yeah.
Where are you at on the West Coast, Brent?
Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, neat. I'm in San Francisco. I've been here like a year.
Oh, right on. Well, welcome to the most expensive fucking place you've ever been in your life.
Thanks, dude. It hurts. but it's we're making it.
Hit up the Free Gold Watch for the best pinball ever.
Wait, what?
It's got a place called Free Gold Watch. It's a t-shirt printing company and pinball arcade. It's right down on Haight Street. Check it out.
That sounds
Free
Gold Watch.
It is amazing.
You told us about some really cool shit tonight.
I'm here to drop knowledge balm. No. Balm. I'm just going to see if Max Sabbath is coming to San Francisco.
And then we'll go. I'm writing down Free Gold Watch right now, and I'm going to find this note later and be like, what was I talking about?
Free Gold Watch? See. What website's that on? Oh, man. So
I just want pizza so bad. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry, I just need to share.
I was going
to
say, it's so expensive living out there. That means it is good to have a service like Game Pass.
I thought you were going to say Little Caesars. Because you're right.
And Little Caesars, yeah.
Could be out there, too.
And CeCe's. Yeah.
God, CeCe's is so good.
Get that buffet pizza.
No, CeCe's is not good.
It's good it's if buffet. You eat it like I do. I get a lot of their marinara sauce. I put a whole bunch of crushed red pepper in it, and then I just submerge everything in it.
I think I've had it 3 times total. I've always found CeCe's to be like subpar. Like it's better than Little Caesars, but better than Domino's.
I find the $6 buffet pizza to not be to my liking.
Personally,
because I've had better pizza buffets, like how Pizza Hut used to have one, if you recall.
But I don't even remember eating Pizza Hut anymore. It's been so long. Probably since the 90s.
Quick Pizza Hut thing. I was just in Pittsburgh, and the night after the show, we went back to Mega Beardo's house and got a bunch of pizzas. And the only Pittsburgh notoriously closes very early. Like everything just closes. The only thing open is like a couple gas stations after, 11 o'clock midnight. I don't know why. It's weird. But the only pizza place that was open late enough was Pizza Hut. So we got like 5 pizzas from Pizza Hut. And it was the strangest. They're like one of the few, like say those fast food pizza companies that hasn't changed their logo in the last 30 years. And it was the weirdest thing seeing a bunch of Pizza Hut pizza boxes sitting there. It was like an advertisement for some retro something or other. It was just amazing. I haven't seen that in so long. It was okay. It was. I feel like it used to be. I remember it differently.
I miss the Noids.
The Noid was Domino's.
Oh.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought that
was Noid was Domino's.
I still
Pizza
miss
Hut,
it.
You got to go with the pan pizza at Pizza Hut.
Yeah, you do.
So you get that thick crust. Oh, now I want that. Shit.
Can we all at least agree that Papa John's sucks?
Yes.
I love Papa John's. Yeah. I love Papa John's. Am I the only one? I'm the only one.
Papa John's. Grant, we're going to be friends forever, dude. Just said
yay. Papa's. Get Papa's. It was a college thing. Yeah.
I like how Papa John's different. Is now just selling toppings in a bowl. So if you don't want the hassle of having dough with your pizza, you could just get the toppings in a bowl and just eat that. Just cheese and meat and like, what the hell?
It's weird. It's not pizza anymore.
With that, maybe they don't fuck up every order known to man.
The only thing I like at Papa John's is their breadsticks. And the garlic sauce, that's it.
I don't particularly like anything from there. But they also made my order incorrect every single week for over a year, so...
Oh my god. Why did you keep going?
Because that was the only pizza place we had at that point.
No.
And I really needed my weekly pizza, or else I was going to lose my shit. Thankfully, I've cut that down to every other week now. And it's Little Caesars because they're significantly better. And Little Caesars has probably messed up my order 2 or 3 times in the past like 5 or 6 years. I may have gotten my pizza right less often than that at fucking Papa John's. They're fucking terrible.
See, Jacob could shit talk Little Caesars all he wants, but Jacob, have you ever had the stuffed crust deep dish pepperoni from Little Caesars?
I don't think that's ever been an option at the Little Caesars near me. So, well, no, I haven't.
Then you
have
Little Caesars is bitch-ass Little Caesars.
I mean, that's literally every Little Caesars I've ever
been. There's some good ones.
So. To me, y'all have some bitch-ass ones because, like at mine, we have zesty cheese breads, and I don't think that's damn near anywhere else in the U.S., and it is so damn good.
Zesty cheese bread.
Yeah, it's really spicy.
What makes
it's really spicy. It has liquid cheese under the standard cheese on it. It is so damn good.
So, like, nacho cheese sauce underneath?
Not quite that consistency and much spicier. It's interesting. So good. It's so good. That here is the only place I've ever seen it.
One more pizza story. My favorite memory of CC's was at Magfest one year. I was getting a group together to go to CC's, and I went up to Dale North and I was like, "Hey Dale, do you want to go to CC's?" And he's like, "Oh, Feces Pizza." I was like, "Oh, you don't like him?" He's like, "Oh, they're trash, but I love them." And he came. Relatable. And he came with Fair us. Enough. He's like, "It's trash, but I love it."
That's awesome.
It's not good pizza, but it's good pizza.
You're allowed to like bad food.
Yeah.
You're allowed to love bad food.
Yeah.
Truth.
So Feces Pizza. Game Pass, should we talk news?
Wait, is it? All right, Aki, is it zesty Italian cheese bread or just Italian cheese bread?
I guess that's a no on the news.
Yeah, I know. I tried.
I want to know too.
So I'm hearing we're getting free pizza with Game Pass is what I'm hearing. Is that right?
I hope so. That would be amazing.
Hockey, get your bitch ass back here.
Oh, it's zesty Italian cheese bread.
All right. There actually is legitimately a difference between Italian cheese bread and zesty Italian cheese bread.
Yes.
Oh, shit. It's not offered anywhere. It's not offered near me anyway.
Offered in most places. It's so damn good.
All right, and Joe, what is this, like, bullshit about stuffed crust pizza? Oh, wait, they do have one. $11.50 for a fucking Little Caesars pizza?
It's stuffed crust deep dish pepperoni.
It's also from Little Caesars.
It's delicious.
Just shut the fuck up and try it.
Jeez. You guys have the cheese-filled breadsticks?
I have had those before. Those are good.
Oh, I love those. They give you so few of them, though. It's such a shame. Stuffed
crazy bread?
Yes. Oh, okay, that shit's delicious too.
At least
it's a shame you don't have the zesty. Oh, it's the best thing.
The Pizza Cast. Ember saying some great games on Game Pass this October.
Maybe
Little Caesars had that bacon crusted pizza or whatever it was that was all right. Chris chiming in.
I didn't like that one.
Chris, you're a co-host. You can literally just jump in here and tell us about this pizza. Just jump in, like, fucking listen to me. Just jump in on a Thursday show. Why are we talking about food so much?
I'm so hungry.
Because I'm eating and I'm hungry.
I mean, Joe, Aki, and I are all fat. So, I mean,
that's true.
That explains for us. I don't know about. Yeah. 3 out of 5 ain't bad.
I guess. So, Game Pass. Game Pass. A lot of games coming to Game Pass. I am going to force this news to happen. This week, we got Chivalry 2 on Game Pass. Medieval Dynasty on the Series X and S. Proteus hit Game Preview. And then on PC, they got Walking Dead First Season and Season 2.
Proteus is so badass.
What is that game? I hear a lot of people talking about
it. I started it up on a whim. Because it looked kind of neat. It's another they're calling them boomer shooters, but you know, the kind of Doom Quake style first person shooters. But the enemies are sprites. Enemies and pickups are sprites, and they are flat when you turn around them. You know, it's like that in visuals, but with modern lighting and particle effects and blood. Like it's like a mashup of an old art style and a new one. And it's really, really fun. The trailer pretty much will tell you everything, but, I played a good 2-3 levels. It says it's Game Preview, which I guess is early access.
Yeah.
Is that right, Joe?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's great right now. I'm just going to play it till I'm done. Maybe I'll come back later, but I normally try to ignore the early access stuff, but I started it by accident. So now I got to keep playing.
Well, if it's good, it's good. So,
yep.
Next week on the 11th, Costume Quest and Evil are hitting Game Pass. And then on the 13th, Dyson Sphere Program is coming day one to PC, which I'm hearing a lot of good stuff about. They're saying it's apparently a really good sim game.
I mean, I could see it being a really interesting thing. So maybe it'll make it to Xbox one day.
Maybe. But until then, it is on PC Game Pass day one on the 13th. And then there's two games that Aki's going to lose her mind for, with the 14th being Scorn.
Hell yeah.
Aki, are you alive?
Aki may be dead.
Probably. And then the 18th is A Plague Tale Requiem.
That looks
neat.
Yeah, that got her attention.
Yeah, I was grabbing water. Sorry.
I'm pretty
interested. Couldn't do that before you joined the call.
No, I was too busy putting lots of sauce on my nacho bel grande. Sorry.
Awesome.
I like the nacho fries bel grande.
Yo, what sauce did you put on that nacho bel grande?
Three Diablo, five fire, five hot.
All right. So I'm
Jesus.
Nice. Wowzers.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, again, I don't have a sense of taste. I have to put a lot of anything on something to taste it.
Are you, like, drinking the nachos that you have that much sauce on it?
Almost, but not quite. It's pretty close. I really liked the nacho fry bel grande thing, too. They stopped selling it here a couple years ago. It was sad. I really liked that thing.
You want to know what else is sad? That games have to leave Game Pass.
Was that dramatic enough for you?
No. Six games are on their way out on the 15th, with Bloodroots, Echo Generation, Into the Pit, Ring of Pain, Sable, and The Good Life all leaving. There's some
Sable's big good. Everyone go play it. Yeah. If you haven't played Sable, go play it. You can beat it in like a day or two.
Nice.
Go do it. It's good.
I want to play Bloodroots and Echo Generation. So I might
I have played Bloodroots.
How is it?
It's cool. It's cool. It's very cool. It's wild. It's very different. It takes a little while to get a hang of the controls, but it's pretty fun.
What are you doing it?
It's sort of like you're just sort of this guy running rampant through these villages, but it's all about doing things in sequence and building combos. So you'll sort of like bounce off people, bounce off their wagon to hop up to the next platform and keep running and keep combos going. So it's sort of like an action brawler, but combos and momentum are a big part of it. So it's pretty arcadey. So you could get some, you know, couple hours with it. You see what you need to see.
Nice. Probably. I know Carnage said it has some accessibility options in there for like invincibility. So if you just want to get through the game, you could just go on a murder rampage.
Yeah, it's hard. So that's cool they put that in there, because if you just want to see it, if you want to be a tourist, that's probably a good way to see it.
Works for me. It's stylish too. So also stylish is picking on Stadia, because they are closing. And the good news coming out of it is that Tequila Works announced Guilt will be going multi-platform in 2023.
Well, I'm kind of excited for that, because that was the Stadia exclusive game, and I really wanted that.
That was like Stadia exclusive game.
Yeah, well, it was when I said that, I meant it was their flagship one, and it looked really good.
Yeah, and then there are rumors that Google reportedly canceled a Stadia exclusive sequel to Death Stranding.
Oh my god.
Well, of course they were going to. Why waste the money to make it when the
couldn't they like have listed themselves as a publisher? Like, wouldn't they then get money off of it?
Well, not if no one buys it.
I know, but they could release it to other like consoles and PC and shit.
Well, that'd be nice, but I swear to God,
fucking Google.
They probably had some exclusive contract for it, or that meant that it could only go there or something.
Who knows?
Or it's not true.
That's true.
That wouldn't shock me either.
Rumors are rumors, so. Something that is not a rumor, Liquidbit announced Killer Queen Black will be shutting down on November 30th
due
to the closure of Amazon GameSpark servers.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, they were kind of hit out of nowhere. They said that altering the game would require like a complete rewrite, And it's just, it wasn't worth it to...
They did say they were debating on making it open source so people could figure out another way to get it to where they can play.
That would be cool.
And yeah. And also they may be changing up some of the achievements before it goes down to make
it
so.
Well, now they're my heroes.
Oh. Also, going back to the Stadia thing, Elder Scrolls Online players will be able to transfer their saves to PC from Stadia.
Oh my god! That's actually big news for me. I played a bunch of Elder Scrolls Online, and I don't even think it's that great of a game, so I'm not proud. But I got like over 50 hours in that motherfucker, so it's big news for me.
On Stadia?
Yeah, oh, Elder Scrolls Online.
No. It's Stadia, the people who are playing it on Stadia.
Oh,
are going to be
bad.
Able to transfer it over to PC.
Okay, my bad, you guys.
Yeah, you're still good. Your file's still good.
Thanks.
Overwatch 2 launched to stellar reception and absolutely no problems whatsoever.
Yeah,
I'm so glad. Awesome. I know that's I'm so glad, even though I can't tell sarcasm, I know that sarcasm.
Also, something about cell phones? Does anyone play Overwatch?
I don't, but I know what that's about. Originally, because they're just trying to kill this franchise so fucking hard, they're doing so good at it, they decided that you couldn't have an account and play the game unless you had a phone number attached to it.
Well, that was for, like, anti-cheat, wasn't it? Isn't that their excuse?
Well, it wasn't necessarily anti-cheat. It was so people
like
wouldn't
account
pick
verification
on each other or some
and shit like that.
Yeah, and they got rid of that because this is a game that's still targeted towards children who don't have fucking phones.
Well, then it didn't work with people who had like prepaid plans.
No, it did not. Matter of fact, it didn't work for a bunch of people who had postpaid plans. Whatever the fuck that even is. It was a fucking mess. They never should have done it because no shit. And it kicked them in the balls and they fucking deserve it. I'm happy.
Grant, do you play Overwatch at all?
Nope.
No.
Tried it a little bit a long time ago. I have lots of friends that do and they've complained over the years about how they've been making it more of a sport and kind of less friendly to newcomers. And then, I've just kind of watched all this happen the last few days. And I just shrug my shoulders. Like, this is Blizzard. Like this is like the one company this should not happen with, you know, like what really
it's
so,
yeah, it's bad.
I mean, we've been saying that about a lot of companies lately. I mean, Rockstar with the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, that was a mess.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Mafia remakes.
Saints Row.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of crap recently.
I'm actually enjoying Saints Row. It's not as good as the old games, but for what it is, like if they called it anything else, I think it would have had a better reception.
The question is, do you like it because of the gameplay or because of the story?
Both.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know, because I still haven't played it since we didn't get to get it for review, so I haven't played it yet. And all I've heard is negative things about the story. I haven't heard anything negative about actual gameplay, but people apparently
that
group.
I could see why people hate the crew members. I think they are terrible crew members. But the main character, I think, is funny and kind of helps pull it along. And from what story I've done so far, because I've done a lot of fucking around. What story I've done so far, I think it's fine. It's cohesive enough and it's not remarkable, but
how many women are in the team?
Just
I can only remember. Okay. Is she wife material?
In what way?
Like Kinsey was wife material.
Oh, Jesus.
I had a
horny Aki will be happy.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. I'm happy now. All right. That's all I need to know.
Streets of Rogue 2 has been announced.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. CD Projekt Red has confirmed that 3 Witcher games are in production, which when you can't even get one game right with Cyberpunk, go with 3.
Yeah, that worries me heavily.
And also a sequel to Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I think they're stretching themselves too thin.
Yeah, significantly.
Yeah,
it's sad.
And then last bit of news I have is that Need for Speed Unbound was announced for a December 2nd release date from Criterion. It has a hyper-realistic car look with super stylized, cel-shaded, animated characters. I thought it looked pretty decent.
Yep, I'm hype. I'll play it.
Are you a Need for Speed fan?
I am. I like the ones that are good. True. And there's a lot that are terrible, but yeah. I love car games.
Sounds like an interesting mix of design, realistic with cel-shaded. That sounds shocking. Cool.
It looks very cool, like the exhaust coming out, or like cel-shaded clouds coming out of realistic-looking cars. I think it's pretty sweet. And then those games are all about customization and stuff like that, so it should be fun. Just play it, and here's what I do with it. Okay, pro tip. You ready? Sit back. Ready. You're gonna play a racing game that has a story. You play it in French because the voice acting is so bad in all of them. Even the ones I love. The crew. Terrible voice. Play in French, then you don't have to hear how bad the acting is, and you just read subtitles the entire time, and that will make your experience much more enjoyable. So that's how I do my car games.
I haven't played a Need for Speed since they first introduced cops that chased you. Back on the PS2, whichever fucking game did that.
Wow, you haven't played in a long time.
Yeah.
No, not at all. That was the first and only one I ever played, and I loved it, but that was it.
You should try some. There's a bunch on Game Pass.
Heat is really pretty good. The one from 2-3 years ago.
I liked Heat. Fun. I thought that was a solid one.
It controls well.
I just want Burnout back, man. I want a new Burnout.
Yeah.
Like Criterion, I was disappointed
with that announcement.
What, Jacob?
I said I was disappointed with that announcement because I was really hoping for a new Burnout. And
I think you're absolutely right. I feel like I've kind of resigned to not. I'm hoping someone else surprises me with something, you know, somewhere else, because I just don't think these guys are going to do it. But boy, if they just slapped a Burnout 4 on a game, I feel like that would sell like crazy.
I wish they'd bring back Burnout 3 Takedown. Yeah, like you can't buy that one. I wish you could. I've got a lot of fun. Just
remaster
of
some of the older ones. Fuck, they do it with everything else. Paradise got a remaster. Collection would be good. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about earlier today? That I wish they'd do a remaster of Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks.
Was that the one when you go through a level?
I mean
all of them do that?
Well, no, you like go from left to right.
You play as Liu Kang or Kung Lao, and you're essentially playing through like the plot of Mortal Kombat 1 and or no, you're playing through up like you're playing through the plot of Mortal Kombat 2 because it takes place immediately at the end of Mortal Kombat 1. So yeah, I don't know. I've got really fond memories of playing the ever living shit out of that game back in college, and I really wish that they'd make that available again.
There's a lot of stuff I wish would come back. Like, I would kill for a new Githru, man.
Man, that Mythology Sub-Zero game was good. Someone brought that up in chat.
Grant, you ever going to cover some Githru, man?
I mean, probably. I just think of other bands. Even 1UPS does it, and Lonely Rolling Stars does it. How in the world could I touch it, right?
I mean, you don't have to do Legendary theme.
Yeah, I guess it is Legendary. There's a lot more.
Everyone does Legendary. Like, I want to hear someone do Tainted thought. Lovers.
Okay. All right. Writing that down. Just going to take a peek.
Taint Lovers.
Taint Lovers.
Yeah, I love that song. Get you versus Viking Guitar, or you versus Mega Beardo, and some of that would be a cool fucking remix project, man. Just you versus a bunch of other people.
Dig it.
Let's make this shit happen. You versus Tony Lofton for King B. I mean, he plays the sax. He'd be a good choice for it.
Yeah. This is a pretty fun idea. Anyway.
Man, anyone else have any news, or am I just going to like spitball about this imaginary remix project?
Mine was the new Need for Speed one, so I'm glad you actually mentioned that. I think that was this morning or yesterday or something. So,
I mean, I've got news.
Go for it.
So Nintendo dropped.
Oh yeah, freaking huge Mario news! Brothers. Huge news! Totally. Yeah. What the heck? How did we not mention that? That's like
I was waiting for Jacob to. He's the one who talks about movie news. So.
Oh right. Oh gotcha.
I was letting that go for him.
Wow, that's
so they dropped the trailer for the Mario Brothers movie today, so we got to hear Jack Black and Chris Pratt's voice in it. I honestly was impressed with literally everything about the trailer except for Chris Pratt's voice. Like, it sounds so unnatural coming out of Mario.
Yeah, it does not look right at all.
I honestly know Nintendo will not change it, but I really wish that, you know, they would do with Mario's voice for this movie what Paramount had done for Sonic the Hedgehog's look, because holy shit, it does not do anything for me at all.
And to be fair, they didn't show a lot of Mario's voice. Like, they didn't reveal a lot of it, so maybe when we hear him speak full sentences, we'll think a little differently, but
as far as I'm concerned, the only Mario voice that should ever be around is Lou Albano, who played he was one of the TV
the Mario.
I loved that show as a kid, so like that's the only voice I accept for Mario in a TV show or movie for that matter. It was perfect to me.
Okay, so Guitar Man and the Super Mario Brothers theme song. That's what Grant's got to do next.
I did Mario backwards. Does that count?
You did do Mario backwards.
Do Mario backwards.
You've done some crazy shit over your musical career.
I'm an old man. Dumb ideas. Pinball's next. So anyway, I think that Keegan-Michael Key sounds great. I thought Toad sounded fun. I thought Bowser sounded good. I do feel like I was expecting Chris Pratt to do an impersonation of something, like a different voice, like act. And it just sounds like the Lego Movie guy to me.
It does.
You know, and that's fine. You know, I like Lego Movie, and I like Chris Pratt. I think he's got he's very funny, and I think he can do this.
It just doesn't fit. It's just so boring.
It feels like cowardly. I've watched like some reactions to people's reactions to the Mario voice, and everyone just goes, oh, like it's just him talking, you know. It's even hard to hate because it's just not right. It's not like I hate it, it's just not right. Like, it doesn't, he's not being a cartoon. But I don't know, again, you're right, Joe, it is just the trailer. So
also not right is choosing our stream to raid, but thank you, Dopey, for coming in here with 15 people coming in hanging out with us. For the people new to the stream, we are chatting with Grant Henry, also known as Stemmage, who just put out a new album.
True story. But then the Mario movie dropped, and like the album's out the window, right?
We're talking about fucking movie. So I'm just giving a wrap up on who you are.
Heck yeah.
For the new people. But yeah, the movie. Any other thoughts? Like, what besides Mario? Like, I thought Jack Black sounded really good as Bowser.
Of course he did. It's Jack Black. Yeah.
And I mean, it looks beautiful. Like,
it looks great.
A lot of personality in the animations. Like, I thought the penguin posse is like they're like my favorite new people, these penguin people with their overly confident, you know.
So, is this live action or is this all animated? Because I haven't seen
it. It's animated.
Okay.
Oh, you should watch the teaser while we're talking about it.
I will.
Because you can do that.
that part. Let us know what you think when Chris Pratt's like, I want some spaghetti. What do you think of that? Like, do you think that's...
Please tell me he doesn't actually legitimately say that, because if he does, I'm going to groan so loud.
You should watch it and see. You should check it out and see what you think.
Okay.
The Luigi tease at the end was nice.
Heck yeah. You heard a little grunt from Charlie there. Charlie Day. I feel like that's my favorite casting choice.
I know. I think he's going to knock it out of the park. What is it? Seth Rogen. I think Rootbeer said Seth Rogen is doing Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I think I had read that a while back.
Yep, he is.
Chris says, if Mario says, you know what they say, all toasters toast toast, I will give the movie a little kiss on the forehead. Oh, my Lord.
I want to, real quick, I just want to mention, No Time for Games in the chat did say, I like your Tron album. I was too busy yelling about Chris Pratt to see that, and I want to thank you very much for that comment. Much appreciated.
You do make good music.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Drop it, bitch! I come here
so you can compliment me. That's why I'm
Mr. Freight, thank you for dropping 69 biddies in chat.
You're welcome.
You will now be entered into my personal raffle for the game of your choice. Thank you very much on behalf of me and Pickle.
So, like, is it only like, do you only get like one entry or?
No. If you do, if you drop 69 biddies 3 times in a row, I'm going to enter you 3 times.
Nice. All right. I'll make that happen.
I'm going to hear dropping bits all episode, aren't I?
Drop it,
there it is, right there.
So we have to submit 69 bits 3 times.
No, you either. So earlier,
it's like saying
this
Bloody
week,
Mary in front of a mirror.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Earlier this week, I was like, "Hey, I'm not gonna make it to the Tuesday chat." Blah blah blah. But,
drop it, bits.
A special raffle. So every time you donate 69 bits or 420 bits, you will be entered into a raffle for the game of your choice. From me, Brooke. Yeah. And this is in honor of Pickle the Cat's medical bills.
Yes. Pickle's vet bills for his dork ass face.
Wait, is there anything special that happens if I do 420 bits?
No.
Oh, well.
No, it's just the pot number.
I didn't know if like there was something special. Okay, so I'm
no, just, I just really
69.
I really should.
Oh, no,
you did 59.
Oh, no, 59.
You punk. No. You punk.
That one doesn't count. No take-backsies, as they say.
That's amazing.
Sucker. You fucking fell for it.
This is literally how we get you.
You and your typos, that'll teach you. Trying to distract my show if you're dropping bits all episode.
Yeah, how dare I?
Okay. I did have to change it to a minimum 69 to get the sound effect because we were getting too many people dropping a bit,
which is what I tried last time.
You asshole.
Drop it.
No time for games. Thank you for dropping 69 biddies.
I'm not a fan of Pratt's voice in this. It does not work with Mario at all.
No, it doesn't. It really
and
doesn't.
Yes, I understand why you like the penguins now. That was adorable.
Oh my god, when it cut to the wide shot and they're just throwing snowballs and he's just standing
so
there.
Cute. I really hope they play a bigger part than I suspect they will. They're so adorable.
It's going to be good. I'm excited for it. But yeah, any other news or should we dive into reviews? Brooke, I know you have to get going because you got a lot of shit to take care of. Like, things aren't going too good on your end, are they?
You know, they're going great right now, so let's just go with that vibe. really happy to meet Grant tonight.
Happy to meet all you right. As well. We'll have to catch a show or something in the bay.
Yeah.
But yeah, should we dive into reviews? Brooke, you want to talk about a keyboard?
News.
What news do you have?
So Giant Bomb, GameSpot, Metacritic, Game FAQs, all of them got purchased up by Fandom.
Which is bad news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've bought up a lot of wikis forever ago, and if they didn't get enough views, as you know, you expect wikis over time, people don't visit them very often because they're not brand new games, they just close them. They get rid of them. And that's exactly what's going to happen to all the forums and shit on all these places, because that's what they do. So
yeah,
it's the death nail for all of these places, basically. It's sad.
Jeez.
So if you have any video games ever that you want the walkthroughs of, go on there, get them now, folks. Just download them and you'll have them, because within a year, they're probably all going to be on.
Yep. And then the last other bit of news that I have is that Assassin's Creed and Final Fantasy are going to be coming to Magic the Gathering.
Really?
There's some sort of special card thing that's they're going to do.
Huh.
I mean, they did Godzilla like a year ago.
Did they? Magic the Gathering?
Yeah.
That's weird. Shows how much I've been paying attention to Magic lately.
Also, Thimber brings up a good point. Nintendo's cracking down on hentai games on the Switch.
Yeah, and the boobies. Because of our friends at Zoo Corporation with Pretty Girls Collection having nudity in it. And I guess, kind of skirting around ratings issues. Yeah, apparently Nintendo's not too fond of that happening, so they're going to crack down on the boobies.
I assume as long as the nips are covered, we're good, right? Like, nips is nudity,
probably.
But which, you're supposed to free the nips. There's a whole movement about that.
You could show it in Grand Theft Auto or in The Witcher, but don't have a cartoon titty.
Well, and are there
Joe,
any?
You should free your nipples in support right now on camera.
No.
Damn it. Come on.
No.
How many bits do I have to donate?
No.
Bits for tits.com.
Stop staring at the camera. Creeping me out.
Staring directly at you, Jacob.
No. I know. Stop talking about my nipples.
You hadn't laughed yet when Jacob laughed on the stream, and it was just very funny. Like, straight face. Anyway.
Okay. Anything else, Jacob, or should we dive into reviews?
I don't know. Does Aki have any news?
No. I don't got nothing.
Brooke,
I may
news?
Have at one point, but I would have forgotten by now.
I have no news today. I actually gave you a heads up on that in advance.
Cool. So we'll get to reviews. Is that good?
All right, sick.
All right. First item to talk about tonight is the Rockat Vulcan 2 mini keyboard developed by Rockat, available on the Rockat website for $149.99. The Vulcan 2 mini optical mechanical gaming keyboard packs durability, performance, and functionality into a 65% mini form factor, providing space for sweeping mouse movements. The Vulcan 2 mini features ultra-fast linear Titan 2 optical switches and easy shift technology for programmable function layers with smart keys to indicate when secondary functions are active. Brooke, what does any of that mean?
That's a good question. We're going to listen to me wildly speculate about that a little bit later. So,
nice.
First of all, this keyboard is beautiful. It's the prettiest keyboard I've ever seen in person or used. And it feels really good to clack on. You know, that special clacky clack that only mechanical keyboards could give. So, I'm actually pretty new to mechanical keyboards. I only first tried my first one 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I just moved in with my partner and he had a mechanical keyboard. And like anyone who has just moved in with someone with a mechanical keyboard and they've never used one themselves, I hated his guts. I was like, why are you typing so loud, dude? It's ridiculous. Drama queen. But then he was like, oh, have you never used a mechanical keyboard before? Come try it out. And he let me plug that keyboard into my PC. And after about 5 minutes of feeling the most satisfying keys I'd ever felt and making the most satisfying clacky clack noises I'd ever made, I was like, damn, I get it, dude. I get it now. This is sweet. And I have my own now. Yeah, and I had bought myself my first mechanical keyboard, but it was really a budget keyboard. I bought it for my birthday in 2020, and this is a huge upgrade for me. But yeah, so that little story about my boyfriend and I and my first mechanical keyboard, that's actually an amazing summary of everything I know about actual gaming keyboards, so this should be a fun review. Just kidding. I should say everything I knew about mechanical keyboards, because I got the reviewer's guide to get this keyboard, saw a shitload of terms I did not understand in the product features, and I looked them all up so I could understand what is this keyboard even actually doing? Because it sure looks great. It looks pretty different than other keyboards, too. But how and why is it different? I'm going to share just a few of those features I looked up with you. The first feature I saw that I didn't understand was that this keyboard has 100% anti-ghosting. It says keyboard rollover, full key with 100% anti-ghosting. So what does this mean?
People can't ghost you anymore? Awesome.
Oh my God. You took the words out of my mouth. Because here in my notes, I was about to say, due to my experiences within the realm of dating, just out of context, that already sounds great to me. I was like, all right, full send. But yeah, what does ghosting mean for keyboards? Ghosting, and I hope I get this right, is when you press a shitload of keys at or around the same time, like a monster, and it only registers like the first 5, 6, 7 keys. And then everything after that just sort of doesn't register. Well, that won't be a problem with the Vulcan 2 Mini. Slam your entire hand all over this bad boy. It's going to be fine. I don't know what order those keys are going to be in if you hit them at the same time. I don't totally know how that works. But the computer, knowing that you press each of those keys, is going to happen. Vulcan 2 Mini's got your back there.
So you will have accurate transcriptions of when the cat walks on the keyboard.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. And that's going to be a big honking W for SML in general.
Yeah, so, buddy.
Another nice feature we can see this keyboard has, if we read the list of features, is it has a switch life cycle tested to 100 million. So what does that mean? What's the switch? Okay, well, the switch, apparently, Brooke, isn't the key itself, like the key cap. It's the actual electronic piece of the key, the switch beneath it, that actually registers the stroke and communicates it to the computer. So yeah, in theory, if the switch life cycle has been tested to 100 million, that means a machine that somewhere along the line pressed each of those keys in the prototype 100 million times, and they still work. So damn, that's pretty cool. 100 million seems like an arbitrary number. But, you know, if it makes you feel better to compare yourself to others, you can compare this figure to what the Alloy Origin 65, another great mechanical mini keyboard, boasts. And they're only saying that they have 80 million. So if that matters to you, that does seem pretty sweet. Yeah, pretty cool, man. Now, I've only had this keyboard for about a week, but after reading that, to compensate and to try to test this, I gave this keyboard a beating within an inch of its life, and it still works. I pressed the keys very hard, very, very many times, and I did that for y'all. So, yeah, it still works, and you're welcome.
So how loud is it? Have you typed anything while you've been talking at all, or no?
I haven't, but, like, I also have a really good habit of muting before I type or use a mouse, because, as you may recall, when I joined your show, Joe, I just didn't realize how sensitive mics were, so you guys could just hear me typing to the Twitch chat. So I developed that habit here on the show. I've never really done any recording or anything like this outside of this, so what
it's okay to make that noise. I mean, I do it all the time.
It's sad, too, because I was, like, literally talking to y'all, and you guys were like, we can hear you. We can't take that out of the recording. I was like, no. And, like, I couldn't hear it, but yeah, I had a lot to learn there. Just like I had a lot to learn about mechanical keyboards before I got the bulk of too many. Okay.
Oh, no. That was me. Now I feel bad.
I actually don't remember who it was.
It was me, because I remember being like, who the fuck is typing?
Well, look, like, if I was still
doing it, knock it off.
If I still felt bad about that, I would remember it was you, and I don't. So we're all, it's all gravy, man. It also, yeah, it probably could have happened multiple times because I'm on Tuesday, so it probably wasn't just you. So it's all good. You gotta learn somewhere. But yeah, the last feature. So yeah, this keyboard has a lot of features, but to spare us from me sitting here all night listing those features out and wildly speculating about what they mean, we should do that sometime, though. That sounds pretty fun. The last feature I'll go over tonight before I talk about what my novice ass really liked about this keyboard, just out of context, is it has functional layer 30 dual LED smart keys, and then it says world's first. So what does this mean? Does anyone on the show know what it means when function layer dual LED smart key?
No.
It's a key that has lights in it, I think.
Okay, I think you're right. And the reason I asked us all that is because, yeah, I asked my partner what that meant, and I Googled it, and I tried to read around, and I didn't get a super definitive answer on every part of that line, probably because it's the world's first. This has never been seen before. But seriously, I think it means that each key has a couple LEDs each, and I'm actually going to give a couple visual aids in a second. When we get past this part, I'm going to pop them in the Twitch chat. So it's neat. Instead of just, like, a few LEDs that glow with my previous keyboard case that I'll also show you, there's clearly at least one under each key, and it makes a really nice, it's every key's beautifully raised and kind of on a little pedestal. I've seen that on keyboards before, but not quite like I have on this one in person. And the LEDs slowly change color as you sit there too, so you get a nice shimmering rainbow thing going on. Looks really nice. Great to look at if you live in one of those states where they've legalized it. But yeah, I want to talk about the raised key thing next, but it's hard to talk about what these raised keys really look like. So I'm just going to pop a visual aid pull up here. Well, before I do that, I'll say one thing I really loved about this keyboard. Hold up. God, I got lost in my notes. Give me just a second here. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, we're going to have awkward silence this entire time.
I found it. Hold on. I got it. Okay. I'm going to immediately cut you off after asking for help. Thank you very much. Okay. So the first thing I want to show you is, if you're stupid like me and you get a manicure for your birthday, right before you get this mechanical keyboard, and you get your fake nails done too long, sometimes it's hard to type, right? But that wasn't so much of a problem with this keyboard. Let me pop this in the Twitch chat. There's a link to this image, and I'm going to give you guys four images total. So this is my previous keyboard. As you can see, I have these long-ass nails, and I'm trying to use the keyboard, and I can't really connect because my nails hit the back of the keyboard. But in this next picture, when I switch to the mini Vulcan keyboard, You can see that because the keys are raised, my hideous nails actually go in between the keys and touch the back of the keyboard. And it's not very efficient, but it is pretty cool. And mostly I want everybody to look at my gross nails and see that it syncs, it syncs between the keys, and it's really easy to see from those pictures what that whole LED raised business looks like in action. And then I want to show you a before and after of my setup. So this is what my keyboard setup looked like. I'm new to the visual aids thing, y'all. This is what my setup looked like for my wireless keyboard.
You need to put those images on OnlyHands and charge a subscription.
Chris! Chris, you're fucking hilarious. OnlyHands. You don't get to be funnier than me and not even join the recording, dude. Come on. Next time you gotta be on the show. No, that was really good. I almost want to tell the Kisselvania story again because he's just on fire these last 2 weeks. Like,
drop
like,
it, barely bits!
Oh my god, thank you, Jacob, for the 69
with,
bits.
With another entry.
Thank you, dude. But yeah, third picture, you can see that I had this really wide keyboard and I don't have a huge desk and I like to put all of my anime husbandos out, all my little toys, and it's a lot easier to fit those when I moved to my new keyboard, and it gave me a ton more desk space. I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't know exactly, like I could tell it was a smaller keyboard, but it just didn't register to me until it arrived that I wouldn't have a number pad. But for a lot of gaming, I find that I don't need that. And while I thought that I would just take this keyboard and it would just be a nice thing to use sometimes, I actually am going to end up using this long term because I have a different desk for my work. And I don't know, I like having the space. And it's just a much nicer keyboard than anything else that I ever have owned. So it did, like, I just wanted to take the product for fun, but this is actually going to be my gaming keyboard on my very cute PC setup now.
I'm like looking down at my keyboard and I notice I barely use the number pad myself. So I'm wondering if something like that would really be that much of an effect to not have the number pad if, I don't know, it seems like you need to be an accountant and really use it. The numbers and spreadsheets and shit like that.
Is there a version of this keyboard that has the number pad?
There is a let me see. We actually just got some correspondence about it tonight. There is going to be a Vulcan Max keyboard releasing October 17th that features all the same functionality as the Mini, but at 100% size of the keyboard. So we might end up talking about that one in the future. But for now, the Mini, sounds like you're enjoying it.
I'm really enjoying it. Before we like wrap this up, I want to talk about, did anybody ever play Sid Meier's Pirates?
No.
Nope.
Aw, man. Okay, well, that was one of like my favorite games back in the day. And I guess when this keyboard got here and the knowledge sank in that I didn't have a number pad, I panicked because my very first keyboard I ever bought, I didn't like grow up gaming on computers or gaming a lot. So when I became an adult, I bought a laptop because I really wanted to play Sid Meier's Pirates so bad. But the only way you can dance with all the pretty ladies, all the governor's daughters that you're trying to make into your wives in that game, this is an amazing game, by the way, is with a number pad. So I spent $12, which was a lot of money back in the day. That was like 2 hours of work for me back in my day, on eBay, bought a keyboard with a number pad. And I guess that cemented in my mind that number pads were really important for gaming and that I would always need one. And with this keyboard, I've learned that it's not really the case. I haven't used it once in a week and a half, and I've tried a lot of different games on it just to kind of make sure. And then I hit it really hard, as discussed, and it's still ticking. It looks great.
What did you hit it with? Just your hand, or did you use like a wooden spoon or anything?
My hands, but I really want to get like a wood mallet, just now that you've said that, just for fun, and then maybe take a nice video.
Just pop all the keys off. Just crack it, and they all go flying.
Why, babe?
You know, what I will say is that I haven't personally used mechanical keyboards, but I did try to buy a couple cheap ones since I experienced them for the first time. This is clearly like a well-oiled machine that works super well. I have my partner try it too, because he's a little bit more of an experienced PC gamer than I am. And
Drop it,
bitch! It's tough for me to say. Is it worth it compared to other products? I know it certainly has features that the other products don't have. But without being able to try those products, I looked at a lot of different pictures of those products, and I looked at some different videos too of the ones in the review guide that they compare this to, like the
Alloy, whatever.
And I really like how this keyboard looks aesthetically. I think at the end of the day, unless you like really care about the difference between 80 and 100 million that we spoke about in the review earlier, I think most people like me are going to, or even more serious gamers,
are going to buy a keyboard
based on aesthetics. And if you're going to go that route and this looks good to you, it looks just as good in person, if not better. Like the glowing and the raised keys, like my pictures can't really do it justice. It almost looks ethereal. And if that looks good to you, this is certainly a great working keyboard that even though I've only been punching it for a week or so, I punched it really hard. It seems really durable. So while I'm not the most experienced product reviewer or PC gamer, I do recommend this keyboard and I'm going to keep it. And I highly doubt that I'm going to have to replace it for the rest of my life. Like, it'll probably last forever. But I'll keep you guys updated if it breaks.
I do have one question about this.
Okay.
As someone who's never used a mechanical keyboard, what the hell's the difference?
Oh, that's a really good question. Does somebody who knows more about this answer it better than I do? Because for me, mostly it's a tactile difference. But I know that there are gamer reasons for having a mechanical keyboard.
Okay. I've just always picked up like the $10 little shitty whatevers that they had in stores.
Me too. Like my keyboard too. Set now is I think a $20 bundle from Big Lots. So that's the high quality equipment I'm working with.
The kind of stuff I use too. So
if you remember from the beginning of my review, like I was 32 years old and trying my first mechanical keyboard, like it didn't seem important to me. But at the end of the day, I ended up enjoying it when I tried my partner's because it's just really tactilely satisfying. And it's almost like typing on a typewriter. If you've typed on a typewriter versus a keyboard, it's kind of hard to explain until you really sink into it. But it's almost like it feels like the keys are working better. It doesn't like... Sometimes I have to press a key a couple times if it's a cheap keyboard, and that's fine. If I'm paying 10 or 12 bucks for a piece of equipment, like I don't mind if it's a little bit like that. But it is a very precise experience, and you know if you can hit the key or not. And if you love the sounds that come with it, a lot of people get hooked on those.
I've been interested in them, but I am very comfortable with my slightly curved keyboard. It's not one of those full crazy psycho split ones or anything, but it's like I think it's called a Comfort Curve or Curve. It's a Microsoft keyboard. And it's just, I've gotten used to that position, and I don't know, I haven't spent enough time with maybe there are curved keyboards that have mechanical buttons. I haven't researched, but most of the ones I see that are showcased are these little compact sets of bricks. No curve at all, and I'm just curious. I will try one day. I'm very curious.
That's a good call out. I forget because I've used so few keyboards in my day. I've forgotten that like a really common style is that split ergonomic view. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know what the offerings are out there for like split ergonomic keyboards that are also mechanical. I wonder if that's a thing. And
yeah.
I'm gonna get off the show and Google it because I'm curious. I think this is a really solid product.
Well, it is available on the Rockat website. It is $149. It is available in black and white. They do have interest-free payments through Klarna if you want to use that. I never realized how expensive like actual quality PC accessories can be, but at $150, what do you think of it?
I think it's really cool. It's tough because, you know, I live in San Francisco. I don't know if I would have bought this for myself. TBH, but I don't know. When I'm thinking, if I'm confident that a piece of equipment will last me the rest of my life, I'm willing to invest in it. I'm not sure, like, this was kind of like a spur of the moment thing. I'm not sure if I would have invested keyboard wise for myself, but now that I have, I don't know. I know it has at least a 2-year warranty, and I wonder if that warranty is limited and how. But if I had, like, let's say I'm shopping for a keyboard and I just had the money to throw around and I had a budget of like 100 to 200 and it didn't matter to me, I would pick based on aesthetics and like, this is a damn cute keyboard. My setup's all black, but there are some really cute PC setups that we've all seen for aesthetics that like that is like a white and pink setup. And I saw a video of the white keyboard version of this, and I saw pictures from the guide, and it's gorgeous. If you have like a white setup and you want to trick that out, this has got to be one of the best mini keyboards to do that and like pull off that look completely. And the rainbow shimmering effect looks really good with the black and the white.
Nice.
I can be a cheapo. I don't know if I would have bought this for myself in the next few years personally if it had gotten in front of me, but I really am glad to have it. And if that's in your budget, I think it's a quality piece.
I think it's one of those things that you think about monitors a lot. Obviously, they don't skimp on monitors because obviously that's an interface between you and the world. The chair you sit in, people try to do good things with, but like you don't think about it with keyboards as much. I mean, that is your interface where you spend a lot of your time, and if it makes your life better. That's a reason. That's a little over two video games. You know what I mean? To up your keyboard game. Or whatever.
I figure if you're dropping $1,600 on a GPU, you can afford $150 for a keyboard.
Absolutely,
I would agree with that. And while I haven't used mechanical keyboards,
drop it
because of the games that I've chosen. I understand that people who really need a fast, accurate connection, like people who play fighting games, really like prefer mechanical keyboards. But then I know a lot of serious fighting game players that have like a joystick that attaches to their computer. So if you're in the market for this sort of thing, you're probably already looking for a couple of these features.
Cool. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for doing the review on that. Also, big thanks to No Time, Raider Biz, and Root Beer for dropping biddies and subs in the chat. Everyone is getting their entries in for
Brooke's God, that's game. Awesome. I'm pumped.
How long are you going to run this contest, Brooke?
I said it was through the week secretly. If everybody was an asshole and didn't donate, I was going to push it to next week because who cares? But it looks like we're getting some decent ones. So I'm really pumped about that.
I don't think any of yours are working, Grant.
Son of a...
Drop it!
There they are. No, it's not working. I did it so many times. No wonder my balance isn't going down. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have my little Twitch. Just
cheer 69.
But I can't. I hit the cheer button and like...
No, you just type it. Literally type.
I think get rid of the plus.
Literally type and get rid of the plus. Do I get rid of the space?
Yeah, just cheer 69. Watch. I'm going to do it again.
Drop it!
Did it.
Oh my God, I'm doing 69.
Oh shit.
It's happening. I was Grant.
There it is.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Crap. Oh, we're doing it
did
so
you
hard.
Did it worked.
I'm keeping track of all these by hand, by the way.
Thank you.
Drop it!
I'll bet your hand's getting tired, Joe.
Yeah,
always. I'm doing 69. Oh, look, I did some more.
Oh my God.
Keep dropping those bits. Love it. Brooke, anything else you want to mention about the keyboard, or were you going to head out? Drop it!
I think I filibustered enough on the keyboard side, but I had a really good time tonight, and
you're awesome. More than welcome to stay. I could listen to you talk about just whatever.
Thank you, Aki. I'll stay for a whole Thursday show like I did a couple months ago next time I join.
Nice.
Drop it!
Super nice seeing y'all and super nice meeting you again, Grant. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Absolutely.
Bye, y'all. Cool.
Brooke, do you have any final words?
That's it. Thanks again, y'all. And you know what? Let's go ahead and say Tuesday is the last night that you can donate. But we'll always appreciate donations in increments of 69 or 420, respectively.
Cool. So there you have it. Tonight and Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night, drop biddies in amounts of either 69 or 420.
Drop it, bitch!
Just like that. And every biddy drop is an entry to win a game of your choice, courtesy of Brooke.
I'll get it for you. And what I'll do is when we randomize picking the entry for the raffle, I'll do it in front of Joe to stay honest. So donate away, people. It's for Pickle. All right. Night, night, y'all.
Later.
Good night. Beautiful.
All right, next game to talk about is Car Mechanic Pinball, developed and published by Sonka, released September 23rd on Switch for $4.99. Welcome to Car Mechanic Pinball, repair and pimp up cars for your clients. The more money you earn by flipping cars, the more you can invest back in your workshop to improve it. All of that nicely packed is an old school arcade pinball game with a voxel look and feel. Grant, tell us about your time with Car Mechanic Pinball.
Do you like voxels? You know what voxels are? I love voxels.
I do too. I love that style.
I learned it's volumetric pixels. I didn't know that, but it makes a heck of a lot of sense now. So Car Mechanic Pinball, it's interesting that you mentioned this to me, because I had come across this game about 3 or 4 years ago. It was added as a page you could wishlist on Steam, and it was called Car Mechanic Flipper, because in Europe they call these games flippers. They don't call it pinball. So apparently the game ended up going into the arcades first. It was in one of those sort of tall arcade games with the big screens. Like, they took Flappy Bird and put it in the arcade. I don't know if you ever actually saw one of those, but they've taken lots of mobile games and put them in arcades first. And so I thought the game had just vaporized off console into the arcade. And then we learned this was coming out is it Switch only?
I believe right so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a voxel-based pinball game where the pinball is the car, and you control the flippers like any other pinball game, but the targets on the machine are everything you might associate with like a mechanic shop, and then the mechanics are sort of walking around the build, walking around the room, and you slam the car into those guys to repair the car. That's like the fundamental mechanic. It's very funny. It's very strange. The controls are like you'd expect for any pinball game. The shoulder buttons do flips, but you can do a bumper for a short flip and then a regular trigger for a full flip. And that's actually really helpful. The physics are surprisingly good in this game. So you can do things like, you know, raise the flipper just up slightly and the car might slide down off the flipper to the other side. You can be a little strategic with it. So you're repairing these vehicles. You pick a car to fix, and then it starts with just filling the cars with gas. And then you slam into your mechanics enough, and then you go through the exit, and then you get money to unlock all kinds of different things. Most notably different parts of your shop. So you eventually are fixing lights and the batteries and engine. Everything you might expect with, happen at a mechanic shop, but in weird voxel pinball form. Turns out you can also slam the flipper and shoot the car right out of the back of the shop and into the city, and then proceed to drive around the city. it's not what you expect. You're still sort of a pinball. You can boost and turn the car different directions. It's kind of sloppy and weird. But the idea is that you drift around trees and you can slam into other little shops and things and unlock things and get more money. But at the end of the day, you're just trying to make money at your shop, upgrade your shop. And I have not beaten the game yet, but I'm getting there. And I assume you're essentially, you're building up your shop and eventually selling it, moving on. You can do drifting while you're outside to earn tools that you use in the shop. And let's see. Feature wise, that's about it. It's one table. It's one sort of workshop, but you just keep sort of adding to it as you go. It's very simple, and it's somewhat repetitive, but it is fun to play. The music's really good. It's got a really cool look. But a couple dings on this thing. This game is a little confusing. It's hard to know sometimes if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. The way the game works is you can choose to just slam into the mechanics. You hit the car into the mechanics to fix the cars and then bank them and change cars. Or you can really try and go out and collect tools and explore the city and to get money that way. They sort of give you two different ways to progress. But that can be dangerous. You might drain. When you drain, the car gets wrecked, as you might expect, and you pay money and you have to start over. So a little bit of a risk reward thing there, but it is a little confusing. Not a whole lot of tutorialization. Maybe that's something that they, in the translation from arcade to console, they left out. That's a little strange. I would also say that when you're outside, when you're moving your car around and trying to drift around trees, the controls are just kind of bad. It doesn't feel very good, and the physics are a little inconsistent. It's that when you're actually on the playfield, flipping your car around, it feels great. When you get out of there and you're in the city, it just feels weird. It's playable, but I almost find a lot of the times I try to stay out of the city because I don't want to risk losing my ball or losing my car. But I'll tell you what, I'll say this, like for the flaws in this game, it's priced at $4.99.
Yep.
And it's on sale for $2.49 right now.
Yeah.
they launched 50% off until closer to the end of this month. And honestly, like there are a lot of really crappy asset flip pinball games on Switch. And this is very unique. This is unlike any game I've ever played. And the fact that it has the cool voxel art and the cool music kind of adds to that. So honestly, you can't go wrong with $250. You probably get a good hour or maybe way more, depending on how much you like it, out of this. So it's got some issues. If this was a $10 game, I would say be wary. If you're a voxel slash pinball fan, jump on it. But with it being so cheap, I feel like it's worth giving a shot. If you're looking for something cheap to pick up, looking for something to play, that you can't just, it's $2.50. That's a coffee.
Yeah.
At that point. So,
no.
So yeah.
Sounds like it's worth it. And I almost forgot we didn't play the Ball Squad sound effect. So,
Oh, shit.
There it goes. There we go. Ball Squad.
Drop it, bitch!
I still love that you just did a song for Ball Squad. Like, I can't thank you enough for all the weird shit you've done for this show. So, and coming on and reviewing games is some of the weird shit you do for this show. So thank you so much for doing it.
Yeah, no problem. I will say, I mean, in the pinball space, I don't know if there's another podcast that had both the representatives for both of the main virtual pinball companies on here together, at the same time. Yeah. Pinball Arcade and Pinball FX, everyone together. That's song worthy right there. So,
and you were part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
How the fuck did I pull that off?
I have no idea. I don't know what you did, but, there you go. I mean, essentially competitors, you know, but got them on and shot the shit. And
it was a fun time. So,
yeah.
I guess, Grant, we will let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing and all of that fun stuff?
I'm on all the socials as Stemmage. There's stemmagemusic.com. And if you want to check out my latest album of Halloween tunes, it's called Spookage. And if you search any of your music places other than Bandcamp, you'll find it on there. So
I was going to say, it's $7.92 on iTunes.
Is that what it is? Is that a reasonable price?
In my book, it is. I'm cheap as hell.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it tonight. So
love it. Yeah, I love I never know how to, you get options for pricing stuff. And I'm just, I always try to go low because it's like, I'd rather people have the tunes, you know?
Yeah. So.
Wait, shit. Did I discuss Mortal Kombat, the album today? I don't remember if I did.
No.
Not on the show.
Nope. Holy shit. It is back on iTunes. Like, like that old thing with like Techno Syndrome and like all the songs about the different fighters and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that thing has not been available digitally for years and the CD's out of print. And like every once in a while, I'll do a search on iTunes for Mortal Kombat and holy shit, it was there on Tuesday.
What is it called?
Mortal Kombat, the album.
The album. Okay.
It's by the Immortals, quote unquote.
Oh, the Immortals. Interesting.
Now I'm looking for it. I don't see it.
Check this out.
Oh my God. Did it get accidentally posted? Like
Immortals?
No. Just search Mortal Kombat, the album.
I did. Like, I didn't see it. So I'm searching
for Immortals. It's on. It's on right now. I mean, it's
$10.
It's on Spotify. Like it's out. So yeah, Immortals, I guess
Capitol Records finally got up off their duff and released it again.
Yeah, they got the logo trademark and everything. They got it's official. It's out. Every song.
Yep.
I love how they put the fighter first and then the actual name of the song in parentheses. That's how you do it.
The only thing I see on iTunes is just a single for Mortal Kombat.
If you search Mortal Kombat, the album, it is literally the first thing that comes up under albums.
Mortal Kombat, the album. This is entertaining. I see. No, it's not showing up for me. The one from 2011 is showing up with like Skrillex and all that fun stuff. I don't know. Maybe I got to restart my phone.
Skrillex. I remember back when he was popular. At Far Cry 3.
Grant, are you ever going to do dubstep?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
Guitar step.
I don't know. Get step.
Gub step. You could do dubstep for the next SNL theme. There you go. all right, Grant, thank you so much for joining. We won't let you get going.
Sweet. Good to talk to y'all.
Any final words?
Spooky. Ooh, spooky. Ooh.
Wow. Love it. Next game to talk about, Paw Patrol Grand Prix, developed by 3D Clouds, published by Outright Games.
I feel
Games.
Like I had a stroke or something. What the hell? What was that about?
It was his final words.
Spooky. Alrighty then. That's okay.
Yeah. Next game to talk about is Paw Patrol Grand Prix, developed by 3D Clouds, published by Outright Games, released September 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $49.99. Also launched straight to Xbox Game Pass, the Paw Patroller on their fastest mission yet to win the Pup Cup, drive around iconic locations including Adventure Bay, Jake's Snowboarding Resort in the jungle to find out who will be crowned the winner. Jacob, what is going on in Paw Patrol Grand Prix?
So this game is coming out now after the Paw Patrol series has done three 3D platforming games, each of them with, you know, middling levels of critical success. And it looks like Outright is going to be releasing a bunch of like kart racing games, first off with Paw Patrol, and later on next year, we're going to be getting one with Gigantosaurus. But with this one, so the characters from Paw Patrol, and you only get to play as the dogs, they're just having a race. There is like an adventure mode that has like technically has a plot, but like the cutscenes are really just like the characters popping up, like a static image of them, and then like they say their stuff, and then like they disappear, and you go on to the next thing.
Are they fully voice acted? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, like the lines are voice acted.
Okay.
But you know, like,
I'll be honest, I turned the voice acting off like immediately. I couldn't take the voice acting in this.
I mean, I've had to listen to Paw Patrol for the last like.
I know, but I haven't
too so long.
It was hard for me.
But anyway. So, like, there is a plot. It's not much. And it's really just, like, conversations that they have in between all the races and stuff. And as you go through adventure mode, that's actually where you unlock all the stuff. And so that's where you can lock other characters because Everest and Tracker, like, we've unlocked those so far. And I know that there's one other one, Rex, the dog with, like, the wheelchair legs. From like the dinosaur adventure. So it's not exactly the, most up to date, you know, with all the different dogs and all that kind of stuff, but you know, it's far enough along that it should please your kids with who they get to play as. And you can also unlock costumes and hats and stuff like that. Now the races themselves, there's three different levels of play, easy, normal, and hard. And there's also like an assist mode for your youngest kids, like the kids who are like 2 or 3. And the game essentially just plays itself at that point. So one of the nice things about this is that if you're really just coming into this game just for the grind so you can get the achievements and stuff like that, from what I understand, if you just throw on the assist mode, you can pretty much just get everything. Like the computer almost always wins. When it's playing for you. So, but yeah, all the different characters have, there are two separate kinds of weapons you can have. There's one that you get by picking up the pup treats that are seen throughout the games and, TV show and movies. And that will charge up your own character's special thing. So like for Marshall, who I've been playing a lot, in the adventure mode, that's the fireman dog. He has this like water balloon toss. Other ones have similar stuff. And then there's ones that you can pick up as you go throughout the course. And most of it's just like tornado shields.
Pies like, that you throw, turbo boosts.
Yeah, like there's a turbo boost. There's like one that like puts jelly on the track and slows you down. And one of the other things I thought was neat is that you can actually decide whether or not Mayor Humdinger, who's the main nemesis on the show, he can participate in the races by he'll fly around in a hot air balloon and he'll randomly toss stuff onto the track. You can disable that if you want to make it less, you know, less difficult for the kids who are playing. But yeah, playing on easy mode is generally easy. Obviously I would hope so. I never really had an issue with the AI on it ever. Normal mode, they're starting to get some rubber banding, annoyingly so with it, but it wasn't too bad. And hard, it's what I would call normal for most kart racing games. It's not the most in-depth kart racing game, but for kids who are between 3 and 5, it's honestly a pretty good start. The graphics look nice. You can tell that they took some, not liberties, but they took, they borrowed some ideas from other kart racing games out there, like Mario Kart, Crash Nitro Kart, that kind of stuff. And honestly, it for an offline mode, kart racing game that's aimed at kids, I honestly thought it was a pretty serviceable entry into the genre. It's not bad. I didn't really have any complaints about it.
I have one minor complaint. This might not be an issue for some people, but if you're playing local multiplayer, every person needs their own account.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
There's an achievement to play split screen and to play 4-player split screen, which obviously achievement hunters got to get those. I had to sign Ashley in to play co-op to get the split screen, and I don't have 4 accounts on my system, so I couldn't get the 4-player.
That's dumb.
You can't add a guest. You need to add an account.
Huh.
Yeah. That's so weird. I think that's something that could probably be addressed. I don't think every 5-year-old kid is going to have their own Xbox account.
No, so. I mean, neither of my kids do. They play off of mine. Which in retrospect is probably not the smartest idea, because then they have access to Doom, but
I'll toughen them up,
whatever. But I honestly, my only complaint for the game was that I just think that there needed to be more power-ups, more of a variety. It was really the same stuff over and over again.
I thought it lacked in the sense of speed. It felt very slow. Even the turbo boosts felt kind of sluggish.
But remember who this is aimed at, man.
I know.
This is not aimed at us.
but you could still have longer turns to give it more of a sense of speed without feeling stupid or too simplistic. I don't know. I think you could have had a little bit more of a sense of speed in this game instead of it feeling as slow as it does.
As a parent with kids who, my youngest avoids playing Hot Wheels Unleashed with me, and my oldest gets annoyed pretty quickly with it. In my opinion, the courses were just fine the way they are. Yeah. It's set up for kids, for my kids and their age.
Kids your age, yes.
Yeah. Shut up. you know what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Well, the game's $49.99. What are your thoughts on it?
It's a little steep, and it might be better to, wait until Christmas for this, if you're really thinking about purchasing it, but it's on Xbox Game Pass. I'd recommend it. I'm not thrilled with the price because I'm cheap as hell, but
Game Pass it. So
yeah, but I'd recommend it. I think it's a good entry for parents and for kids who are just getting started on kart racing games.
Cool. All right. Next up is Alfred Hitchcock Vertigo, developed by Pendulo, published by Microids, released October 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4 and PS5 for $39.99. Can you trust your own mind? Immerse yourself in a psychological thriller of a new kind, playing with the limits between reality and fantasy. Jacob, what's going on in Alfred Hitchcock Vertigo?
So this one, I begged Joe, please, can we get this for the show? Because I was really intrigued by the notion of, bringing in an Alfred Hitchcock title as a video game. I don't know. That just seems so bizarre. And so with this, it's not a straight adaptation of the original movie Vertigo. In fact, there's similarities in terms of plot, but that's really about it. And with this, you have a character who is recovering from an accident that seemingly they were not at fault for, but they're blaming themselves for it. and you have to piece together what's actually happening, and whether or not the people that this person is dealing with really exist or not, and help them like get better, so then they can finally get past, you know, the vertigo and the trauma that they've experienced with this. And so, you're playing as this writer, initially, and, he hasn't like written anything in a few years. And then we're introduced to the accident first, and then it, you know, flashback, to how he met his wife. And, you know, it's just, you're going through the conversations and there's actions that you can do. And the game has you opening up doors. This is essentially a visual novel, for people who want to hold a controller and do more than just hit A to the next thing. Like, you have to do stuff like pour cat food. You have to open up doors. You have to investigate, certain things, because eventually you start playing as other, characters, like a therapist. You start playing as like a small town sheriff who uncovers, you know, a murder scene. And yeah, and eventually like everybody like starts coming together and you have to start figuring out, you know, how everything is pieced together. Now, I like the idea of the game and I think it has lots of potential. I mean, it kept me interested the whole entire time. And I do appreciate the fact that it wasn't just like a straight, novel with that. However, the text size for everything, because you have to make multiple decisions. I mean, you have to make decisions throughout the game. And a lot of the times you have multiple choices and it, you know, it's like, if you hit X, you like kick the trash can. If you hit A, then you say, you know, I don't know. You like, you say something. If you hit B, you high five a child, like some crap like that. Okay, I'm just pulling random shit out of here. But and a lot of the time you only have a limited amount of time to do it. But the thing is that the game doesn't like make it so you can like change the text size. And so like I found myself having to like stand up like right in front of my TV screen, just trying to read what the heck was going on, which I found to be kind of annoying. And perhaps if this is like a PC, like if this started out on PC, like I could get why that had happened. But for a console user, I found that to be a tad annoying. But my biggest gripe with this is that honestly, like if you're going to use the name Alfred Hitchcock, who was, you know, obviously a very famous movie director, but one of the things is that he was very much a visual artist within his movies. And so if you're going to slap, you know, the Alfred Hitchcock name on it, you know, if you're going to use the king's name, you best not miss with this. And the very first time I fired up this game, you're staring at this body that's lying on the ground and you're like ever so slowly moving closer. And I realized like the body's not casting a shadow. And then all of a sudden from like the guy's right knee to his foot, that started casting a shadow, but it was clipping, like it just kept flashing. And I was like, oh, maybe this is a weird visual effect in the game. And then all of a sudden the rest of the shadow came in and I was just like, oh, the game corrected itself and now the image is loading properly. I reloaded the game just to make sure like it was a glitch, and sure enough it was. But it's just a lot of the stuff that Hitchcock used with that, I just feel like the game doesn't properly convey like the kind of cinematography that he would have used. Hitchcock, what? Oh, okay. Sorry, something on the chat. So the thing is that Hitchcock was a big fan of mise-en-scene, which means scene within a scene. And so very often you would see, like there was like a picture within a picture being set up. And so like in Vertigo, like there's one shot where the character's looking through a doorway, but the doorway might as well be acting as an actual picture frame. And so like, you know, so he's essentially seeing this, but we as the audience are also seeing how the character's reacting with that. And it's just, like, from what I was playing, and granted, like, there is a chance stuff gets missed, because I know that there are some achievements that I missed through my time playing it. You know, maybe if I had done something, there would have been a scene right there. But it's just, these were normal camera, like, these were just normal camera angles, and it's just, I don't know. It
didn't have that Hitchcockian feel.
Yeah, visually, I felt it was lackluster for something that's going to use the Alfred Hitchcock name. Like, I'm not opposed to this idea, and, like, I thought it was fun. Like, honestly, I thought Vertigo was a fun experience. Like, it's this nice gap in between visual novel and point-and-click adventure. Like, for the people who want to have the visual novel but don't feel like reading, or who don't feel like reading but don't want to have to deal with all the, you know, investigation that a point-and-click adventure leads you to, this is a very nice, happy medium. It's just, I mean, honestly, I feel like it could have been anybody. Like, I mean, you could have called this anything else, and I would have, you know, I would have had, like, the same appreciation for it. But to use Alfred Hitchcock's name on it,
it just doesn't live up to the name.
In my opinion, I don't think it did. But that's not to say it's not a good game, because I think it is.
Yeah.
It's just, as I said, if you're going to use Alfred Hitchcock's name, you better be, like, this better be as if Alfred Hitchcock had directed a video game.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's so. $40. What is your official verdict?
I'd be more comfortable with 30, but yeah, 40 I'm okay with. At the very least, as a try it, but I definitely recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up is Song Pop Party, developed by Fresh Planet, published by Gameloft, released September 28th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $19.99. Song Pop Party is the latest addition to the biggest music trivia franchise in the world. With a huge catalog of cult classics to today's top hits, you can unlock hundreds of thousands of curated songs grouped by genre, artist, decade, topic, and more. Jacob, tell us about your time with Song Pop Party.
So Song Pop Party, this is actually the first time I had ever heard of it, with this entry, and it's not exactly like the most, in-depth of games. Like, this is definitely like a, music trivia game, and not even, it's not even like I would say so much trivia, but it's just like, you know, it's really name that tune.
Yeah.
For this. And so what it is that you pick a specific genre, and, you know, as you go through the game and you unlock more stuff, you can unlock more playlists. And with that, you know, obviously you get to play with more songs, but what it is that they play like a, okay. I'm confused by the chat thing. Sorry. I'm getting distracted by it.
Yeah, you are. Stop paying attention to it. That's twice. You dumb,
yeah, I know.
You dumb ass. what's throwing you off? The whole playing via Twitch is hard?
Like, his stupid ass has been going for 2 hours, 11 minutes. Like,
that means I've been streaming for...
Yep. Okay. I never watched the stream, all right? So shut the fuck up. Anyway. All right. So with this, like, it plays like a... about like a 10-second clip of a song, and it gives you four choices of... either what's the name of the song or who is the band or artist that performed the song. And then it's just rapid fire. Like, I think it's 12. Is it 12 or 10 titles?
I think it's 10.
I think
10.
I think you're right. And then, yeah. And so you can go up against CPU. You can go up against people online. You can play with people who are sitting on your couch. And yeah, it's just 10 rapid fire things. And then you find out who wins. You get some, like, you get XP that goes up, and then you can use it to unlock, it unlocks more songs and more playlists. You can get new characters to play as. There's a lot to do in this game. And also there's a ton of different genres and decades. Like, there's even like movie soundtracks, like that's on there. And honestly, like, this is ripe for just about anything. Like, I mean, like, you could, like, I could foresee like DLC, like, you know, here's the K-pop stuff, here is I don't know, Tin Pan Alley
DLC with how much shit's in this game. But I will tell you There is one place this game fails, and Thimber is right. That is playing via Twitch. This feels like something that would work really well in the Jackbox style, but there's no options in the game for streaming. You can join via a room code, so you can stream the game, and can anyone can join, but yeah. When that song plays, there's 10 seconds to answer. And if you have a 6-second delay, those viewers have 4 seconds to answer, and they're always going to be after you.
I mean,
we played
so
this.
So you win.
We played this on the ID at Xbox stream today, and it was just really hard to compete with someone who's playing on a console as opposed to someone who's playing via a browser. What I love about this game is if you're playing online and you have a room code, you could join that game on your console with your copy of the game and play at the same time as them. So you can hear the music at the same time, which is what I did, and I destroyed them. It was like 850 to like 3-something. Because I didn't have that lag. I didn't have that 6-second delay where I could answer in like 2 seconds and get 90 points, where everyone else is stuck answering at 7 seconds and getting 40 points. So playing this via Twitch is like they either I can see that it's not intended to be played that way. But if all the tools are there to play it that way, I wish they would have the options there as well to make it more stream friendly.
I mean, they may not have. I mean, because they may not have like the kind of clearances for that kind of stuff.
True. It could be a legal thing. Very true.
So, I mean, that would be something to ask the devs about. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I enjoyed my time with it. I mean, my wife
was
really
confused.
Oh, it's
a blast. I was...
Yeah. My wife was confused. She was like, why are you just playing all these clips of music? I'm playing a game, hon. Oh, well, it sounds really weird.
Yeah, because it really does only play like a 10-15 second clip of a song, and that's it. Like, you don't get to hear the whole song when it's over and done with. You only get those clips. $20. What are your thoughts on Song Pop Party?
Oh wow, it's only 20. Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is an excellent like party game. So yeah, I would totally recommend it for $20, especially.
Cool. I can agree with that. I think it's a lot of fun. I think the M rating is interesting that they have the options to exclude explicit lyrics. And I've played some of the explicit playlists, and there's really, like, I don't know why they didn't just put the clean versions in and leave it at that.
There may have been agreements for being able to use certain songs.
Maybe.
But,
it just feels like a weird game to have an M rating, and they have the tools in the game to have clean games. So I don't know. They probably could have gotten away with a T rating if they just didn't include that stuff. So
yeah.
Next game, League of Enthusiastic Losers, developed by Yukon, published by Red Deer Games, released September 23rd on Xbox One and Switch for $4.99. Vitya and Volodya, two best friends and heroes of our story, swim with a struggle in everyday life and try to stay afloat. Facing an eviction, they decide to find a treasure that will help them with debt repayment. In the course of the adventure, they will meet many new friends, witnessing unaverage, or in the eyes of some very average, events for a typical housing complex. Jacob, Aki, did you play this one as well?
No, I thought this was like next week or the week after. So no, I did not.
Proud of you. Jacob, tell us about this one.
No, okay. So in this one, you play two roommates who are living over in Russia. And one of them is a writer whose children's stories just aren't getting picked up by any of the publishing houses. And the other one's kind of like a mechanic, handyman character. And they're about to get evicted from their apartment. And yeah. And so it's just they go through a bunch of regular stuff, and the conversations are rather witty and humorous. I at least I thought they were. but you go through stuff like finding a dog, helping a kid in the neighborhood put a plane back together, talking to some friends, attending an art show. And there really isn't a whole lot to do except just go from point A to point B, which doesn't really require much of anything. I mean, other than you moving the character across the screen. It's not like it's like platforming or anything. And there's really only one action sequence, which like I wish it had explained the controls better, because I feel like I would have been able to complete it. I'm not sure if I actually would have, though, because I have to do multiple playthroughs of this. But yeah, it's honestly a fun little game that, like, you know, it doesn't take itself seriously. You shouldn't either. I do appreciate that you can pet the dog in it. And
well, that's a buy it right there.
Well, yeah, obviously. And every single time I come back into the apartment, I honestly have to pet the dog like 5 or 6 times every single time I walk by him.
That is fair.
But yeah, it's just like a little whimsical adventure. It, like, the game probably takes no more than an hour, hour and a half to complete. And I had a lot of fun with it.
Well, it's only $5. What are your thoughts on it?
$5, it's a totally buy it. I highly recommend it. Even, you know, first as a game in itself, but also as a fuck it, yeah, why not? Because it's $5. And currently it's on sale, though that may not still be the case.
Damn it.
Okay.
Question for you. Why is it going to take so many playthroughs?
What's up? Oh, it's just because I want to check on something. And also, there is one missable achievement.
Okay, so there's not like multiple endings or anything then?
No.
Okay, shame.
No, I just want to see, like, there's a scene where you have to chase after somebody, and I want to see if, like, if I can actually catch them, or if it's just the plot says, no, you never do. So.
Okay. I was expecting this to be a lot more combat focused, because, like, all the trailers...
Oh. No, there's, I mean,
the trailer showed a bunch of fights, and I was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be kind of Souls-like-y. This is going to be hard. I'm going to have someone else do this, and I'll be back up.
Are we talking about the same game?
I think so. Am I not?
I give up.
I am thinking of a very different game. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay. Which, coincidentally, if Red Deer hadn't already used this, I mean, I think we could have called the podcast that. But
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're not enthusiastic, though. We're
just a league of losers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, buy it.
Cool. All right, that's it for you.
Woo!
Cool beans, man. Cool beans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop it, bitch!
Yeah, you entered again. That's 10 entries. Woo.
And unfortunately, I only have 47 bits left, so I'm going to use those 47 times.
Okay, well, the sound effect won't go off, so...
Well, yeah, I know, ahead. But, like, no, I don't want to. Because because I've watched your face before as I donate one bit at a time, and I can tell that you're just like...
Well, that's because the sound effect would go off for one bit. Now it won't.
Well, yeah, I know. So I'm now just going to wait and hoard my bits.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of dirty.
Cool. Well, next game, we are going to do an update on Steel Rising, developed by Spiders, published by Nacon. It is available now on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC for $49.99. Aki, what did you want to say about Steel Rising?
Okay. First off, I have finished it finally. It has been finished, so yay. Still really good game. Totally think it's great. But in the most recent update of the game, they added a new game plus mode to it. And it's the same game all over again, except for enemies are a little stronger. You also get an increase in your souls, which is the currency where you buy things and level up. You get a lot more of that from enemies you defeat. You can also reobtain all the same weapons that you've already grabbed, which just turns into something you can sell, so you have more money, realistically speaking. Same for clothing. But apparently for beating New Game Plus, you get a special set of clothes for it, which I haven't gotten yet. They increase the level from everything going up to level 20 to going up to, I believe, level 30. So you can be a little stronger. And yeah, it's really good. I really like this update. It's nice. Been super useful. And with this update, they also fixed the glitch that was there for if you used assist mode, you couldn't get any achievements.
I'm guessing that wasn't a glitch. It was intentional, but there were enough people that bitched that they're like, okay, we'll let you.
Oh, no, it was a glitch. There were specific ones that you weren't supposed to be able to get, but it cut literally all of them off instead. Like, you can't get the one for not using your Estus Flask, basically, is what it is, for all of those Soulsborne fans. There's one for not using that at all. The entire game. And if you turn on that, obviously you can't get it. Because it with assist mode, you can literally make it to where you can't take any damage. So, yeah.
So it sounds like this is a fun one to fire up now.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like it. However, there's something to be noted. If you've ever turned on the assist mode, even if you go into New Game Plus, you still can't get the achievements that you couldn't get the first time, which kind of blows. Because I was hoping to play through it one time with like not being able to take next to any damage and then start New Game Plus and have it off and just mop up all the rest of the achievements now that I'm stronger. But sadly, that's not the case.
No. Yeah.
No. Well.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
Any update on your verdict?
Nope. It is still an amazing game that I absolutely love.
Cool. Next game is Serial Cleaners, developed by Draw Distance, published by 505 Games, released September 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Serial Cleaners is a top-down stealth action game where you get to experience being a murder scene cleaner for the mob in 1990s New York, alternate between four cleaners, each with their own unique style, and live their stories. Aki, tell us about Serial Cleaners.
Okay, this is the second game in this franchise. The first one was Serial Cleaner, where you played as Bob and did very much the same thing. In this game, you still have Bob. He's the guy who basically runs it all, but he's gotten along in years. He's no longer a 20-something-year-old dude. Now he's in his 50s, so he's been recruiting, and he has recruited a young black woman named Tisha, I believe. It's short for something else, but they only use her full name like twice in the entire game, so I don't remember what it is. A young Asian girl named Viper, and I believe the last person is an older, I believe, Russian guy that I don't remember the name of, because I just call him Crackpot, personally. basically, the game is still, you know, doing cleaning of crime scenes illegally, but this isn't, oh, we have missions, let's go send people out instead. It's, oh, we're all here right on basically New Year's during 1999 going into 2000. And they're just talking about, you know, their past stuff that they've done and things like that, you know, just chilling, relaxing, having a good time, reminiscing with each other. And there's six chapters to the game, and each chapter focuses more or less on a subject. Like the first chapter is, how did you get into the life of, you know, illegally cleaning crime scenes and pissing off the cops every step of the way? So each level you play as one of the four characters, and this is really where you get most of your yeah, this tells you a lot about each character. For instance, you know, Bob is Bob. You know Bob. He's the guy you played as in the first game. It's him. It's just more of him. That's all. Then you get the Crackpot, as I call him, who his introduction is he used to work for the mob as basically a thug and killer. And he's batshit insane.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Tisha, she got caught up in a crime that wasn't her fault. She was just trying to stop a fight and someone died and she knew it was going to be put on her. So, well, got to disappear everything, mostly because Bob was there and suggested it, which is something that kind of ties everything together here. And then Viper is obviously, because she's Asian, she's the hacker and she just wants to impress Bob. She's like, oh, Bob's really cool. I know all about his stuff. I'm going to be his protege. And then the student will become the master and all that other full force, man. Full force. Oh, terrible.
You just cut out for like 5 seconds.
Oh, no. Why? Why did I cut out? I don't know.
It went full force for all that.
It went full force with all that stereotypical Asian bullshit. Her character is probably the single worst character in the game because of that. Because every terrible stereotype, she has them all.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, like, she's Korean, and she likes video games. She dresses as though she's in Japanese cyberpunk. She's all about leet speak. She's a super hacker. She's tiny. She's weak. She's a terrible driver. It's like every Asian stereotype. The only thing she isn't is proficient in martial arts. But yeah, so each character has their own special abilities and way of doing things. You know, Bob is the classic, you know, he finds a body, he bags it in a body bag, picks it up, carries it off, tosses it in the back of his trunk, and then comes through with a vacuum cleaner to clean up all the blood. Laissez-faire, same thing as the first game. But then you have the crackpot. He does not have bags. He just picks up the bodies. But he also has a chainsaw because he's a crackpot. And he chainsaws the bodies. And if a cop is looking at the body when you do that, because of how terrible and violent and gory it is, the cops will pass out. Thankfully, they put a sensor bar over the bodies when you're chainsawing them. But then instead of having to pick up a body, you have to pick up the limbs that make up the body, which it only gives you 2 for some reason.
Oh, my God.
And you have to carry both of those to the back of the truck. And then you have more blood to clean up as well. But after he's chainsawed the people, he can grab the limbs and chuck them into police officers and knock them out for a small period of time.
Fun.
Yeah. He can also chainsaw barriers that appear on levels he's in. He's slow, but he's a behemoth, so he doesn't move any slower when he's carrying a body than when he's not, realistically. But he's not particularly fast, even when running. Then there's Tisha. She is very athletic. She's very fast when she's running around without a body. She slows down quite significantly when she's carrying one, but her energy refills really quick. She also has an ability that goes to one button, and that ability is called Fuck the Police.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What it is she has 3 bottles of spray paint she can use in any level, and you hold that button, and she basically squats down and just makes this big, gigantic Fuck the Police thing. Tags Fuck the Police on the ground, and then any cop who gets within radius of it will go and check it out. So it's basically like in lots of games, you'll throw a rock to get people's attention. This is basically that version of it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really funny. She can also, you know, hop over ledges and jump up things, stuff like that. She's very athletic. Viper is useless. I love her. She's useless. She can't carry bodies because she's weak and small. However, she can climb through vents. So she climbs through vents. Oh, and as I said, she really likes computers because she's Asian. So she can hack computers and turn off lights and cameras and stuff like that for a short period of time. So she, because she doesn't run very fast or for very long. Again, she's useless. I love her. God, she is the most worthless character in the whole bunch. And yeah, so each one of them has their own special abilities and how they function. But it's the name of the game is still don't get the shit beat out of you by the cops while you're, you know, completely destroying their crime scene. So, you know, yeah, it's not a particularly hard game to play. It's pretty easy. There are some annoyances with the game. There's no level select, for instance. And I believe there was in the first game. This one there isn't, which kind of sucks because there's achievements for cleaning every drop of blood in every level.
Ew.
Yeah.
That sounds tough.
Not super tough. No. It's just you may not know that it's there at first. And that means you have to replay the entire game all over again to get it. Or you might think you got it in a level and then didn't. Yeah. And sometimes finding all the blood is a little difficult. There's one level in specific for Tisha, and it's because there's a body that dropped into this pool, I guess is what it is. So the entire pool is filled with blood. But there's also blood on the floor of that you have to clean up, which is stupid. And you have a special cleaner vision that basically highlights all the blood in the area, and it doesn't highlight it in there because that entire pool is filled with blood. So yeah, that was the last level I needed for that achievement, and I replayed that over and over and over, not realizing that there was blood inside the giant pool of blood that you can't clean.
Proud of you.
Yeah. But I finally got I 100%ed it eventually.
Nice.
Most of the other achievements are just beating each chapter realistically and using all of the people's special abilities 10 times, which is the only one that's even remotely difficult with that is Tisha, because she can only do it 3 times per level. And there's only 6 levels. So you have plenty of wiggle room. But again, if you don't know it's there, you're not going to use it.
No.
Yeah.
The game's $24.99. What are your thoughts?
I really like it. I think it's fun.
Drop it, the first bitch! Time. It's just
more of it and more specialized. I really enjoy the game.
Cool. Works for me. One final game to talk about tonight is called Caffeine Victoria's Legacy, developed by Kokai Digital, published by Rattleika Games, released September 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $17.99. While on a journey to his long-lost mom's homeland, Taka mysteriously finds himself in the city of Victoria. Soon he's staring at a coffee house named Taka Coffee House, the same coffee house that he remembered so fondly during his childhood. Join Taka in discovering his roots and search for his family secrets in a city where baristas are knights and coffee is king. Aki, what is going on in Caffeine Victoria's Legacy?
Well, fuck. There went a lot of the story right there that I was going to talk about. Fuck. Okay, so you play as Taka, obviously, and the game starts you off on an airplane going from, I think it's San Francisco or San Diego or something, to Japan, because he's looking for his mother, and he found a letter from her that his dad had hidden away, saying some weird shit, namely saying she's going back to Edo, which it technically was a place in Japan that was renamed before literally any of us or this character or their parents were alive. So very weird that she used that name instead of what it's called now, which is something he even points out. And, the plane, he wakes up from that, talks to the lady next to him about this, and she offers him some coffee. He accepts. And then, the plane, starts going down and he's freaking out. He's like, oh, we're all gonna die. And the lady's like, no, you're not. Everyone here, including you, is going to survive. And then a hole breaks open in the side of the plane, and she decides to just unbuckle him so he gets sucked out of the plane, because, you know, she's not a cunt at all.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the nicest lady in the world, totally. And, you know, he's falling and falling and falling, and then suddenly he wakes up and he sees an angel. In other words, a cute redheaded girl with pigtails in a maid outfit, because, you know, that everything about that screams angel. And he's like, yo, hey, I'm alive.
Yo,
she's like,
yeah, hey.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I guess you were one of the people who survived that airship crash. And he's like, airship? Airplane, you mean? She's like, no, airship. The fuck are you talking about? And he very quickly realizes he's not in Kansas anymore. Yeah. Instead, this world revolves around coffee, something he doesn't particularly give a shit about. As you find out in his introduction, his parents ran a coffee shop when he was a child, and it seems like they don't anymore after they split up or something. So he's not, you know, big on coffee, but this world, when I say it runs on it, I mean quite literally it runs on it. Like, instead of asking, oh, who's the president of your country? She's like, oh, who are some of the famous baristas of your country? And,
wow.
And he's like, wait, why are you asking that? Who the hell knows that stuff? I know, you know, Spud Bucks or whatever he calls it. Cause they change, obviously, for legal reasons, they have to change all the names of real companies.
Yeah.
So it all comes out being really weird stuff. And she's like, well, why would you? No one knows individual baristas. We know chains. Why aren't you asking about presidents or movie stars or athletes or something? She's like, because baristas are the lifeblood.
Wow. So this is a weird one, huh?
Yeah.
Your mic got all noisy.
Oh, sorry. Is it working now?
I don't know. It's like all noisy out of nowhere. Like background noise or something. I don't know.
I don't know what caused that.
I don't know either.
Sorry.
Whatever. And as it. You were.
In this world, coffee, everyone drinks it, obviously, but it gives you superpowers, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So when they said that, you know, about all the warriors and stuff, yeah, no, they get magic and superpowers and stuff from drinking coffee. So all their warriors will drink it, and then, you know, they're like able to throw fireballs and get super strong and all this other weird shit. And he's just trying to figure out why this place has a Taka's coffee house, because that's the place his parents ran, and it was named after him. And this place is obviously not Kansas anymore.
Yeah.
So he doesn't understand what's going on. So he's just trying to figure out why this is all here, why he doesn't know this place, etc., etc. And with this, he also meets four young ladies. Obviously, the barista girl.
I'm amazed it took you this long to get to the ladies that you meet.
Well, that's because this, surprisingly, isn't as romancy as one would think. From literally everything on its Steam page, anything from its trailers. The romance actually isn't super big in this. Like, obviously, there are romance because there are four girls you can romance. Some rich uppity shit named Elisa. There's, what was her name? There's like a, I don't remember. I don't know if she's a mechanic or a journalist anymore. A girl who has long brown hair. She's super cute. And then there's, you know, Alice, who is the maid girl thing. And then there's another one named, what the hell was her name? Oh, I don't remember the fourth one's name. Oops. The bad thing is, I thought she was the cutest.
God.
Yeah. Oh, no. How did I forget her name? But
anyway.
Yeah. as you interact with people, there's a lot of choices. This is an adventure visual novel. Most of the choices, I don't think, really particularly impact what's going on in the story all that much. But some of them do. There's a lot of bad ends in this where what's a nice way of saying you die like a miserable little bitch?
I think you just found the way. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of those endings. There's also obviously romance endings with all the girls. There's also no romance endings as well. So, yeah, it's a very weird little world with some somewhat out there characters and concepts, just because coffee powers is just weird. So yeah. Yeah.
Well, it is $17.99. What are your thoughts?
I've liked what I have played of it. This is not going to be one of your short Retalica games though. I didn't even realize this was a Retalica game until, you know, I actually looked at it. But yeah, this is going to be one of the long ones. So be prepared for that.
All right. Sounds good. That is it for this episode. Made it through another one. We are going to end the show with some Stemage because he was on. He took the time to come out and join us on the show and talk to us about all his fun stuff and his album. So we're going to play a song off it. What do you think of that?
Fuck yeah.
Goddamn right. Goddamn right. Do you have any final words? I should probably thank Brooke for being here. I don't want to thank Jacob for being here, but I probably should. And you too, I guess, whatever.
Dropping bits!
And thank you everyone in the chat who has been dropping bits this whole time. OBS Studio disconnected, reconnecting. What the fuck is happening?
I don't know.